Rush. I love Rush.
Dude, Rush is the greatest band of all time.
Yeah, no, how about of all time? All time.
You know what? We should jam together sometime, man.
Yeah, totally. Totes my goats. Cool.
Modern day warrior, mean, mean stride. Today's Tom Sawyer, mean, mean pride.
That's it.
How's that feel?
It's tasty.
Yeah? You sound pretty good, buddy.
I am.
Here we go.
Yeah! Today's Tom Sawyer is high on you, and the space invades to get by on you.
Shiny and sparkly and splendidly bright. Here one day, gone one night, gone too soon.
What's poppin'? It's a whole new week.
Yeah.
New Mike Show. And it has to be better than last week. Or I don't know if there'll be another week.
It couldn't be worse.
It ended with water in not one, but two basements as the joy of homeownership and rental property combine. Oh, my God. When you're worried about one basement and the second one, it's so overwhelming. Oh, my God. What is it? Water. Fuck you, water. Fuck you! Why is it so fucking determined to get into a house? I mean, it's going to find its way in there one fucking way or another, isn't it?
Why don't you just tell your renters, act of God, sorry, just be a slumlord. Can't deal with it, act of God.
And I mean, you do this, you try that, you try this, you try, and still, more fucking water!
Yeah.
I don't know. Oh, boy, is that irritating. God. So, other than that, it was a shit week. It
sucks around here that we have to worry about it anytime it rains now.
I know, and
something's
you talk
gonna
to your
flood.
Talk to your
one
friends
of the wettest we've ever seen from the standpoint of water.
Talk to people in the South or in Florida or California, and they say, "Oh man, you still get water in basements there? Are you kidding me? In 2020?
What do you mean you lose power?"
Oh, I was worried about that. That, unfortunately, has not happened, although it did happen to some. And I want to go back to Neil.
Turn off the water.
I want to go back to Neil Peart in a second because that is a big one.
Yeah.
Oh, what a terrible loss. R.I.P. to Neil Peart, Neil Peart's family, Rush fans, who I know are all talking to each other and texting each other and probably sending songs back and forth.
Because if you're not a fan, you don't want to hear about it. They are a very divisive band.
They are. And really, I'm very amused by the whole Rush thing because it seems that their fans are very nerdy. Their concerts are sausage fests.
Yeah.
There's no chicks at Rush shows. But is that the most... That's a good question. What band has the biggest sausage fest for concerts?
Ooh.
The Who have always been known as a sausage fest.
I'm trying to think, is there like a, maybe a metal band? Well, Metallica has women there.
Oh, absolutely.
Heavy metal concerts tend to have way more dudes than chicks. Yeah.
Megadeth.
I remember being surprised how many girls I saw at AC/DC.
Yeah. That's at least, I don't know, though, that at least rocks. I mean, Rush can get really just, you know, like Lord of the Rings nerdy.
Well, Rush is a really cool band, and I'm really late to the Rush party. I didn't appreciate them until just recent years, and then I really started appreciating them. They're just a fabulous three-piece. Oh, my God, are they loved by their fans. And I know all you Rush fans are just probably beside yourselves, and you're all probably communicating with each other in your own nerdy ways, which is great.
When I was about, I want to say, must have been about 8 years old, and there's a McDonald's thing, you know, convention that they do. And so, of course, the whole family has to go. And the last day, they were giving out records to all the kids at like 10 a.m. I'm like, we got to get there. I really want the Duran Duran
albums.
Set. What was 1984?
I just don't remember McDonald's giving away music.
No, this is the owner.
Oh, okay. For special people. The good kind of special people.
Asshole. And now, see, now the story's lost all importance whatsoever. No, but I really wanted the Duran Duran album. Mm-hmm. And I ended up with Grace Under Pressure by Rush. I'm like, what is this garbage? Because it wasn't popular.
Oh, I can understand that. I really for a long time, wondered, who likes this band? Why do we have to play so many Rush tracks? And, you know, over time you realize that there's a reason for it.
Yeah, they're really good.
Tremendous fans. Their concerts sell out like crazy.
It's Neil Peart all up in you.
It's one of my favorite stories, really, in terms of music, because as I said, I wasn't a real big Rush fan. I appreciated a couple songs. And when Roll the Bones came out, which is not a big Rush album, I loved Roll the Bones. I liked that song. I was like, hey, they can do something I really like, which once a band does that, I think it opens the door a little bit. But in 2010, I watched the Rush documentary because I just love watching rock docs. I love reading rock bios because the stories are always fabulous.
Beyond the Lighted Stage?
Yes. And to find out what great guys Alex and Geddy are, that they grew up as neighbors, they've been friends since grade school. And their backgrounds, too. Geddy's parents were Holocaust survivors. Yeah. And Alex's parents were from Yugoslavia. They came to America with $10 in their pocket. And his father was in prison camps over there. Mm-hmm. So these people had huge dreams for Geddy and Alex and their other kids.
It's because of the Jews!
And I think a lot of people can relate to that or understand that, of course, naturally. But these guys, their parents managed to put a few nickels and dollars together and buy them guitars at young ages. And they both just took to guitar like crazy. And they talk about doing high school dances where no one dances because it's Rush music.
Because you can't dance to it.
You can't dance to it. But they were determined. They worked their asses off. And there's a clip in Beyond the Light of Stage of Alec Lifeson having a conversation with a group of people. And he's talking about how, what's going to school? What's the point of going to school? I just want to play music and get on with it. And you know, his parents were, of course, just distraught when he didn't want to go to college. And I think Geddy's were, too.
I love seeing things like that for the people that made it, but I want to see it for the people that just flamed out. Because, you know, for every one Lifeson, there's 300 that, I'm just going to rock, man.
Probably 3 million. Yeah. Well,
I mean, it's cool when it works out.
They were incredibly hard workers, and they had a vision. And you like to see guys that try and work that hard, and it actually pays off. And that's one thing you learn about these bands is nobody gets lucky. Not these guys. No, you know, don't okay boomer me, but I'm not sure that people play as many dues as they used to.
We don't have to now.
No, and that's okay. That's not their fault.
No, there's a way to get music out quicker now.
And who wouldn't do it if you could? And I'm sure they would have at the time, too. But then Neil Peart comes along, and, you know, this...
Are you sure that it's not Peart?
This loner who is a voracious reader, reads thousands of books, and that's the benefit of being in a band, is you have all this free time. And he loved to read. And he was a natural lyricist, and he wrote these... I mean, really.
Pretty deep.
Prodigious lyrics. And he was a guy that didn't like being around fans. That's a funny thing about Rush is that, and Gene Simmons talks about it because they toured with Rush as their opening band in Canada. Gene loved them. Yeah. Look at all the bands Gene has helped.
Yeah, Van Halen.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of them. When some guys, when they get really excited about a band and you've gotten somewhere, you want to, you know, do the same for other people or help them out, which is why a lot of these bands, you know, end up with labels so they can sign other bands or they can produce them. And anyway, Rush to remind him, the first thing that cracked me up was...
Here's that part if you want to
play. Yeah, go ahead, play that.
As soon as we heard that first Rush record, we just like, what is this? This is like Canadian Zeppelin.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What the hell is that? And we literally said, we want that band to open Canada. We then took them across America.
With Kiss, we probably played 50, 60 shows in the first couple of tours, where they were just this weird band from New York. And we got very, very close. And the Watcher Town, now my rock and roll, yeah,
yeah. You are the rock and roll! Regardless of what you want to say about Kiss, musically or otherwise, there was no harder working band than Kiss. And there was no band more determined to put on a spectacular show and give people their money's worth than Kiss. That was a great thing to see as an opening act. We were so impressionable and we were so green. They were very good to us. Those guys liked to have a good time, especially Gene. And their hotels were always fun to... watch.
Every night after the show, the girls would line up. My God, you can even be an ugly bastard like me and get laid. And none of the Rush guys ever did it. I just never understood it. And I said, they're not gay. No. Farm animals? What? No, that's Gene. Not it. What the fuck did you do when Gene? You went back to your hotel room?
I mean, I even remember one night, it was in Milwaukee, I think, and there was a female bowling league sharing the same floor. And they're walking around in their nightgowns and their doors, hotel room doors are open and they're drinking. And all the guys are rushing by, they're in their rooms just watching TV after a gig. They probably woke up the next day going, God, these Canadian bands sure are boring.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, great story. And they were nerdy, and Rush fans, I think of themselves as nerdy. In fact, this was on, I think Neil Peart might have actually liked this or put it out. Nerd credentials.
Sure, it's not Peart.
Nerd credentials, marching band, check. Quiz Bowl team, check. Monty Python quotes, check. Rush fan, check. Number of girlfriends, one, check. Hawaiian shirt collection, check. And that was a funny part of the doc where Rush said they were, you know, trying to figure out, well, how do we dress? I mean, we're rock stars, and they're wearing kimonos.
Yeah.
And Kiss just had a ball making fun of their kimonos and how stupid they looked. And they were, it sounded like it was a very friendly sort of thing between Rush and Kiss. I mean, certainly appreciated each other.
It's really that part, too, where right after that, where Caress of Steel comes out, and they're so excited, and they play it for Paul.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
We called it at the time the Down the Tubes Tour.
You would find yourself in places like Battle Creek, Michigan, playing to 20 people, wondering why you were still continuing. Everybody thought that it was over, that audiences were becoming smaller and smaller, so we thought the end was near.
At that time, Ted Nugent was also not breaking. So the two of us played a lot of small clubs.
It's a great picture of them hanging out with Nugent.
It was a pretty depressing tour. We were kind of lost, figured that we would probably not survive to see another tour. And the record company was really not happy with us, and our management was trying to defend us.
I remember going to Chicago and meeting with Mercury Records to not give up on the band, to not drop the band. I nodded to every request they had. They wanted singles, more commercial. Yeah, sure. I'm sure that's what they're going to do.
That was a terrible winter. I had no money. I was sleeping on a friend's couch. Things couldn't have been bleaker, really. Record company, everybody was, oh, we're going to have to be more commercial here and think about some singles and just leaning on us at our weakest.
How do they have no money? This was their third album.
Go down
so many bands like that.
Try to make the kind of record they wanted us to make. We made 2112, figuring everyone would hate it, but we were going to go out in a blaze of glory.
I think
we all decided that we would rather go back to our jobs.
But he hated that album. They were so pumped and they played it for him.
As a plumber's mate for my dad,
and they were asked to change their ways. To look, you got to do something more commercial. And they pretty much said, nope, we're doing it our way. And if it doesn't work, so be it. And 2112 did pretty well, and they were off and running. And, I mean, it's just a wonderful success story. We talked about so many bands who hate each other.
Yeah.
And they go to the show separately. The only time they talk is when they're on stage, if they talk on stage. And these guys are lifelong friends who were still, you know, the best of buddies. And Neil Peart went through this terrible thing where his daughter was killed in a car accident. And shortly after that, his wife got sick and she died. And these guys, and I think they were totally sincere when they said, I never thought about Rush. I never worried about Rush. I was just, you know, is he going to be okay?
Well, he disappeared.
Yeah, on his motorcycle. Drove about, 5 million miles?
Yeah.
And, you know, which is very Neil Peart. And eventually, he came around. It took a few years. And Rush was back, you know, for their eighth life or ninth life. And things went along swimmingly.
I think that part about them all liking each other and getting along, that's why it was a shock when Neil left the band, 2 years ago?
Yes.
And they didn't say why. They didn't, you know, obviously they knew now.
Yeah, he's been battling cancer for 3.5 years. And, you know, just really sorry. I mean, the list of greats that we've lost in the last few years, and I put Neil Peart in that category. Ask a drummer. He's probably considered the best drummer, period.
One of them, yeah.
I mean, he's certainly right up there if he's not. But, you know, and to think that a drummer means so much to a band, and of course they do. John Bonham was the end of Led Zeppelin.
Yeah.
That was the end. They couldn't go on without him. And many other cases like that. But
hey, his drum kit's in the Hockey Hall of Fame.
Is it in the Hockey Hall of Fame?
I think I've mentioned that before, yeah. He's got a drum kit with all the
nice job, Brandon.
Team logos.
I don't remember seeing it.
Well, did you bloop it, Brandon?
I did, but I blooped it, but I was just at the Hockey Hall of Fame last year, and I didn't notice it.
Yeah. It was there. Right? Sorry you missed it.
Damn.
Yeah, you really missed out, Brandon.
It's pretty cool. I stared at it for a while.
But I'm going to put Neil Peart's death right up there with Tom Petty, David Bowie, wow. Prince, Glenn Frey. I mean, just a long list of people we've lost in recent years.
We just lost Ginger Baker not that long ago, too.
Another great drummer. Yeah, one of the best. So
the Hockey Hall of Fame did tweet about his death. with a picture of his drum kit that's in the Hockey Hall of Fame.
You sure that it's not Parrot? It's just Parrot.
Neil, ironically, definitely marched to his own drummer. He didn't like hanging around with fans. He was kind of surly.
A little grunt, yeah.
Could be kind of a dick. Getty and Alex, though, I think, made up for that. They sound like very gracious guys.
almost to an annoying level.
I know. It's a little too perfect. But, you know, if you watch the documentary, it's a great documentary. I don't think you have to be a Rush fan to watch Beyond the Light of Stage.
It could turn you into one.
Yeah, it could turn. It turned me into one. And when you see the people on there, like Trent Reznor and Billy Corgan, who just revere these guys, you know there's got to be something more to Rush than, oh, God, another Rush song.
Yeah.
Which is how I viewed them for a long time.
But isn't it just the voice? I mean, because instrumentally they're fantastic, they're phenomenal. But
they might be the best musicians.
I mean, the voice.
That was a big problem. I agree with
you. Makes them unique, man.
they definitely went for it in their own way, and it worked out for them. And nobody deserved it as much as Rush. I was reading about Neil Peart's influences too, and I was really surprised to see that he loved a lot of the same new wave stuff I liked. Like he was a big Police fan, Talking Heads. Yeah. I thought, wait, didn't Neil Peart really?
Well, they had a new wave album or two, didn't they? Didn't they go a little new wave in the people got mad because Glee put down his bass and went to the synthesizers, Geddy Lee.
There were a lot of bands. So many things happened in the late 70s in music. I realize you're talking about old music and old artists. I'm so sorry. I hope you're not fast-forwarding. Well, hopefully you are fast-forwarding.
You're lost.
Yeah, you're lost. So many of the classic rock people who were stars in the 60s and early 70s were hit with punk rock, new wave, and disco in the late 70s. And all three of them, especially disco and new wave, too, especially in rock and roll. So many people dipped their toes in or felt like, oh, God, I got to do something a little Carsy or, you know, or something a little more raw, like the Sex Pistols or the Clash. And you really risked getting a lot of shit for it.
Yeah.
Because it could be a disaster or it could be, oh, trends. So, yeah, a lot of people fell into that, and it's, I mean, what do you do? It's like, look at all what grunge did.
Yeah.
So many bands couldn't, they just, you know, it was like, you might as well sit it out. So, Neil Peart.
One last.
He's no longer with us.
He died.
One last thing on him. About 4 years ago, Rolling Stone did the best 100 drummers of all time. Where do you think Peart landed?
One.
Is it one?
Nope.
Oh.
What?
Fourth.
Who's ahead of him?
I'm trying to find out, but this website is awful.
Probably Bonham.
Ginger Baker?
Ginger Baker was third.
I'm going to guess somebody Keith crazy, Moon. Too, like Gene Krupa or...
Buddy Rich.
Keith Moon was his drumming idol.
Yeah.
And that took some work to sort of work out that part of it.
Stuart Copeland was 10th. Does that surprise you?
A little bit, because you don't hear his name a lot.
When this thing loads, I'll let you know.
Yeah, Getty did a whole book on his favorite bass players and playing the bass.
Of course he did.
And he's got a long list of favorites. Like, I know, it's very Getty-ly. Anyway, it's a cool story, and sorry for the Rush fans and Neil Peart and all his world. Just a big loss.
Thank you for your list, Mark.
What a story, Mark.
Oh, we have a new advertiser. Northwestern Tech. Hey, this is great. I really hope this works out because I think this is a great advertiser, and I like what they're doing, too. The Heating and Cooling School in Southfield. HVAC is all they teach. The program is 10 and a half months. Over 50% of the training is hands-on. Last year, over 90% of the graduates got jobs in the field. Now, how many
huge.
Yeah, can you enter into like that where you really should get a good job? And, in fact, within a year or two, most people who graduate and get jobs are making $40,000 to $50,000. There's not a lot of bullshit here. I mean, you could say, hey, we build our own business. Well, yeah, a lot of people do end up mm-hmm. having their own businesses. In fact, about 25% of people who end up with this kind of training eventually want to have their own HVAC business, and many do very well.
I'd say it's a great way to start a small business.
So I wasn't sure if we should be talking to the parents of kids who are 17, 18, 16, and you know, I don't know if he's college material, he doesn't like school, or she doesn't like school. But in fact, talking today to the decision makers here, it sounds like a lot of people get into this Northwestern Tech in their mid-20s or mid-30s. In fact, he said more 30-year-olds than 20-year-olds because a lot of people are deciding, you know, I need a trade, I need something, I don't want to keep floating around. And this is a very good bet. If your goal is to make a living and maybe even have your own business, Northwestern Tech is a great place.
It seems like one of those jobs, too. You're not going to lose out to a robot.
No, you're not. No,
I mean,
you're
not. A robot's
not
going to come to someone's house and fix their furnace.
Yeah, having just gotten a new furnace, I can tell you that. And if you or somebody you know is trying to choose career path, or if you're looking to get out of your dead-end job, learn a skilled trade at Northwestern Tech at northwesterntech.edu. The next class starts January the 27th, and there's student loans, just like everything else. GI Bill. If you're eligible for the GI Bill, this could really be something great for you. And this is not something you're going to end up $60,000 in debt, like a lot of these millennials are so unhappy about. And also, they've been trying to attract more females, because women are getting into this now. Women are going to do everything. And this is one of those things. So Northwestern Tech, again, January 27th is when classes start. NorthwesternTech.edu, HVAC, and a new advertiser, and we certainly thank them for that. In fact, some people over there listen to us.
Be sure to check out the commercial where Jim Bentley is collecting air conditioners. Because he starred in one of their commercials where he's waking up and he's looking out the window and his life just sucks.
Not much acting needed for that job.
Bentley? Can we see the commercial?
I can't find it.
Oh, I'll look for it.
Can we put that on our website?
Sure. I'm sure we'll come across that. It'll be in our show notes.
Wait, Bentley did a hair commercial, too, didn't he?
He did, yeah.
He did, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Was he trying to get a career?
He thinks he's hot.
Obviously. Two commercials. The hair one made it clear that he loves his hair. Yeah.
He did that with D-Mac, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's kind of a Meghan Markle climber type.
Ugly motherfucker.
Northwest Tech, by the way, isn't it? It's a four-hour class, and they have three times a day.
And
so
that's,
you can work and go to class.
Is that 4 days a week, did he say? Or?
I believe so, yeah.
College.
Yeah,
and you can go at night. There's a lot of...
morning, midday,
if night. This is for you, it's a home run. And a lot of people end up very pleased that they have something they can do. And you can stay employed because these people are always needed. There's just no way around it. So, speaking of...
Keith Moon's number two.
Oh, Keith Moon's number
two. That one finally loaded. I can't believe how long this is.
Is there any chance of ever hearing the top 20?
My God, you're asking too much. I'll try. Number one ended up being Bonham, so I had an incorrect correction.
Okay, I love Bonham. It's a great pick. I think I picked Bonham number one. I want to do. I want to get into a Rick Beato list today.
Oh, cool. It's been a while.
I know. It was over the holidays. I was so pumped because I ran into more Rick Beato. As much fun as we make of Rick Beato.
He does a good job.
He does a really good job. Okay, he loves showing off that he can play all the parts. Because a lot of times he'll go, but dude, licensing. These people, they always knock it down. So, yeah, I'm going to have to play it myself. You know, like it's the most horrible thing to demonstrate the lick. Like we don't know it anyway. And he gets other people in there. And, I mean... This guy's
what
really,
is he? He's just a guy. He's a guy on YouTube that does these lists, right? But
yeah.
Is he something else in his day job?
I was going to deep dive and said, no, I'm not doing that for him.
Yeah,
I'm not doing that for Rick Beato.
I'd rather remember him as just the guy on YouTube that makes lists about rock music.
He's hard enough as it is without me finding out what failed bands he was in. He does a really good job.
True.
And he's got some lists that I really like the best drum fills.
Yeah.
And I think you and I both liked, I don't know if Brandon heard it, the cold opens. it's such a funny thing to do a top 20, but I really liked it.
Didn't he also had the best drum opens of a song, and then in the comments, everyone's like, what about We Will Rock You? And so many people said it.
Clapping!
That he had to add at the top, like, that's not considered a drum open, it is clapping and stomping. He was so mad about that.
Well, they obviously didn't see Bohemian Rhapsody, or they would have known that. Because remember?
Yes, that's right. That's how they do it.
Let's make lots of noise! Really get into it! Really a pretty good movie, I thought.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Okay, so I mentioned Bentley. It's the new year, which means our friends at Zotford and Holly need to move some rides to make room for the fresh inventory. So just when you thought there was not topping Zotford's world-dominating trifecta, Gabar and gang have done it again for an extremely limited time. It could be over already by the time I finish the commercial.
You better hurry.
And while supplies last... Jim Bentley and Zotford's incredible hot sales staff have brand new loaded 18 Ford F-150 XLT super cabs on sale for half off.
Hi, Jim.
Really?
Half off? Should I have pre-read this? Yes, you heard right. Zotford's branded new Ford F-150s at 50% off MSRP. Now, chances are selling new trucks at half off isn't going to help Bentley afford his own cell phone plan, but it's undoubtedly going to help you kick off 2020 with a bang and save an ass ton of cash. So please do not waste time surfing Zotford's sick deals and massive inventories at dealsnad.com. Instead, drag your ass to Zotford immediately, ask for Bentley, and get your new Ford F-150 at half off. Because before you know it, getting trucks at half off will be kaput.
And I drive the main road.
I hope they don't take any shots at the lock of the week, which is under fire.
Oh,
the lock of the week.
You mean the last second lock of the week?
Who deserves the blame for the last second lock of the week?
Denny McClain.
I'm going to give it to Denny McClain because that was the only thing that I could think of when we did the last second lock of the week. We had 10 seconds before the show was ending, and I'm like, oh, my God, who's even playing? And just a few hours prior...
Why was the lock of the week not already determined?
I just totally forgot about it. You know,
it was a real asshole of a week. We were way behind. I know.
And wow. So the last couple minutes of the No Filter show that day, Denny interrupts the show to say that he already has his Super Bowl pick. It's already over. The NFL playoffs, it might as well just end because Baltimore is going to win. That was top of mind, so I just splurted it out, and I picked the Baltimore Ravens because Lamar Jackson is the MVP.
He's unbelievable.
And the Titans, I thought, got really lucky against the New England Patriots, but then...
Goddamn devil worshiper, you ain't got no excuse.
Isn't it interesting to see not defense win games in the playoffs?
I hear it wins championships.
It does matter quite a bit.
Damn.
Lamar Jackson, though, he had a couple runs in that game. Oh, my God.
He's a different speed.
I've watched him play, not enough. I can't wait to see him play more, honestly. But Michael Vick was an incredible thing to watch, especially when he was at Virginia Tech and his first couple years in the pros. Oh, my God, was he quick. I think Jackson's
slow
quicker.
Down.
Oh, he is. He absolutely is.
I mean, I don't think it's by a mile, but he is quicker than Michael Vick. And Michael Vick was the most amazing. I was thinking last night, you know, God, Lamar Jackson, Gale Sayers, you know, is he the greatest runner in open space I've ever seen?
Oh, that's a great question.
He's up there.
Barry was pretty good in open space. He wasn't as fast, though.
No.
He had moves.
Oh, this guy squeezes through spaces you can't believe.
There was, I can't remember who the player was. I think he's a commentator now, but he tweeted out something to the effect of, he's the best I've ever seen as a quarterback running, Lamar Jackson. And someone, some Twitter troll out there corrected him about Michael Vick, and you better check him out, blah, blah, blah. And the player just responded, I played against Michael Vick.
Well, Michael Vick.
Know who you're talking to when you're going to troll, I guess.
He was the first 1,000-yard rusher as a quarterback, which seemed ungodly at the time.
There wasn't a Bobby Douglas quarterback?
Yeah. Bobby Douglas had 968 for the Bears. And it was something else. That was on a 14-game schedule.
Bloop.
Okay. Well, he would have had 1,000.
Asterisk. Yeah.
And Vick, I think,
averaged. Remember the OJ's 2,000.
Six and a half yards a carry. I mean, he was just amazing. And his highlights are incredible. This guy, I really believe, is significantly better. Wow, is he fun to watch.
Oh, that highlight, though.
The Titans have Derrick Henry, and wow. Oh, my God, does that guy, he is really something. He's fast.
That game ended on really one sequence where they went for it on 4th and 1,
yeah.
Got stuffed, and how about the balls just to throw deep on the next play? Like it was a turnover on downs. They went up 14-0. Then they stopped them on another 4th and 1, and that was the ball game.
Titans,
that was a great game.
I was reading about them. I've been trying to get up to speed on the Titans, and I was reading about how in 2017 they were 9-7, which was deemed not good enough. Here they are 2 years later in the championship game to get the Super Bowl, and where are we? 3-12-1. And then the other Saturday game was the 49ers, who also deep dove on.
Mm-hmm.
And look at the way that team, look at the acquisitions. Garoppolo.
God, he's good.
Laken Tomlinson.
Second round pick they got him for.
Mm-hmm.
And Devin Coleman, the three running backs.
Tevin Coleman, yeah.
Is Tevin? Did I say Tevin?
You said Devin.
Devin? Tevin Coleman. I know who he is because he played at Indiana, didn't he?
Yes.
How about the receiver, Kittle? Who
tight end? Yeah, from another Iowa tight end, huh?
Fifth round.
What about our Iowa tight end?
First round.
No, I was referring to Kittle's, and the three defensive their defensive line was absolutely outrageous in this game. Three number one picks since 2015 in the defensive line, including Bosa, who is I mean, I hate him. He went to Ohio State, but he is something else.
Yeah.
27-10. Kirk Cousins.
Look at the size of these guys.
Can we? No, I'm not going to do this because it would take all day. Look at all the quarterbacks who have won a playoff game in the period that the Lions have not.
Yeah.
Even the Stafford years. Kirk Cousins has won a playoff game now.
Finally, yeah. Well, Ryan Tannehill's won two.
Ryan Tannehill's won two.
What?
It's just,
shows you how it's a lot more than just a quarterback.
But it's not a sports podcast.
Another tackle. He's at the 15. He's at the 10. He's at the 5. It's not a sports podcast.
Thank you very much. And now the national championship coming up.
Yeah.
What a weekend of
pumped
football. Wow. Anybody want to make a pick on the national championship game?
I don't think I should.
I like Clemson, man.
Can you have one by the end of the podcast, Brandon?
Yeah, I guess.
I think I like Clemson, too.
Clemson.
And watching LSU against Oklahoma, it's,
I no
it's virtually impossible, though. How can you think anyone can stop them?
I'll take LSU.
I think Clemson can.
I'll take LSU.
I think I'm going to take Clemson.
Joe Burrow's, he's good.
Oh, he's amazing.
Not that good.
And he was he sat on the bench at Ohio State for 3 years.
Yeah.
How amazing is that?
He's no Trevor Lawrence. That beautiful hair.
Mm.
Mitch Kramer.
Mitch Kramer, pink, yeah.
Dazed and confused.
Corny as it sounds, 2020. It's 2020. So why aren't you 2020? That's the corny part. That is without glasses and contacts. The only way to get there is to opt for a safe, painless, and brief procedure at the Aldo Eye Center. 2 years now, our listeners have been going. Many, many, many people have. Dr. Yell examines your eyes up to a dozen different ways to determine your issues. He is the most experienced eye surgeon in the Midwest, and his goal is to serve people the gift of great vision. Do what hundreds of Drew and Mike listeners like you have done. Make the call. Understand you'll be required, what will be required to rid you of glasses, contacts, and reading glasses, and then decide for yourself. 1-800-398-EYES, 800-398-EYES, or go to YaldoEyeCenter.com.
See you soon.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay. So, God, there's a lot going on.
I know, but nothing more important than Meghan and Harry. I swear there's a new goddamn story about those two.
Kate has no tits. Why does she have any followers?
Everybody. They haven't spoken in 6 months.
Kate and Meghan.
Yeah, Kate and Meghan have not spoken six months.
This story is so obvious going on.
They cut ties on WhatsApp. Why is that in the story? I don't know. And worse yet, William won't hug Harry.
okay, William and Harry, we've talked about this. These guys were so close for so long, and now they can't hug?
No.
William's incandescent with rage.
Incandescent. That's right.
And the queen, I was actually going, oh, man, how could you do this to the queen? Like I give a shit about the queen, the most titled human being ever put on this planet. I'm going, oh, the poor queen.
To that point, there's far more outrage about Meghan pulling Harry away from the royal family than there is about anything Prince Andrew has done.
I think you're right.
Oh, they're by far. You may be right.
He's got to be loving this.
Yeah.
This is the best thing that ever happened to him.
Don't you just
outside
see him,
of meeting Epstein.
Don't you see him just feeding Mum all these stories about Meghan? Oh, Mumsy, look at this new one.
Oh, what about all the money we spent on refurbishing the place? They spent $2.4 million fixing up the place to Meghan's specifications, the castle they're in.
The queen should send her a bill.
She should. You know what Meghan will say? Send it to Elton John. He'll pay it.
Elton John
will take care of it.
Elton John knew they were leaving the royal family before the queen did. That was another news story that popped up today.
How funny is that?
What? That was a news story that knew?
That he knew first. And he's probably, I knew first. I mean, people are bragging about it. But the most, I mean, this is so, it's all about Meghan Markle. I can't believe the world has not thrust all of its hate, literally from all the Trump hate is sucked out and thrown at Meghan Markle because she is so obviously the beast in this story.
Yeah, even one of her pals said that, I saw this coming, it was just a matter of time. With Meghan, it's always been her way or the highway.
And we knew that. And Harry, there's a video of Harry trying to kiss Bob Iger's from Disney, trying to kiss his ass and get Meghan a job doing voiceovers. How humiliating is that? Someone in the royal family trying to get a job for the princess.
Caught on tape going, you know, Meghan does voiceovers. She's very good. She'd love to try out for you.
Isn't it awkward, too? Isn't it obvious that Iger's like, oh, shit. Oh, yeah, that'd be great.
First thing he says, oh, I had no idea. Like, what are you, okay, great. And then he kept pushing the issue like, you seem surprised by that. She's really interested.
No, he sounds desperate, doesn't he?
Well, yeah, he wants her away and out of the house.
This chick is a horrible actor.
It's going to piss me off when Meghan Markle suddenly starts getting all these jobs, making all this money. She's not the princess anymore.
Do you feel any sympathy for Harry?
Yeah, I do.
Like he was duped?
He's a henpecked guy.
Yeah.
For all the pressure this guy's getting publicly, it doesn't even compare to the shit he's getting from her.
Oh, I know. This is what he said. This is what he spends most of his day saying.
Yes, bitch, I heard you. I'm pretending like I didn't.
He must say that at least six times a day.
Yes, bitch, I heard you. I'm pretending like I didn't.
Or this.
I agree with my wife.
Well, that's publicly. Privately, it's all.
Yes, bitch, I heard you. I'm pretending like I didn't.
I have breaking news, by the way.
Uh-oh.
Right. Meghan Markle, this is not a joke. Meghan Markle wants to direct.
What? She's already directing Harry's life.
Well, she wants to direct movies.
Oh yeah.
So
great.
And this is perfect because this is the category that everyone gets so bent out of shape. And the all male category is Natalie Portman
at
the Golden Globes.
Yeah,
and this year too, no women nominated. We need Meghan Markle. She'll probably get fucking nominated, won't she? Oh, Meghan Markle's not nominated.
It'll never air on the PBC, though.
Hashtag Oscar's so anti-Meghan.
What about their threat of a no-holds-barred interview? That's going to happen. They keep threatening, yeah.
What are they going to say?
I don't know. They're holding no bars, though.
She is such a bitch. Kate has no tits. Why does she have all these followers? It'll be worse than the Andrew interview. She will be worse than Andrew in his pedophilia interview. She's flat-chested. Why does she have all these followers? And honestly, I think she's got bulimia because I've followed her into the restroom quite a few times.
Something's always coming out of one end.
But it also makes me sick, all the asses they're kissing, all their friends, George Clooney. They're being mean to them.
Wait. It's not just George Clooney. It's the Clooneys.
Oh, yes. I'm sorry.
Them all.
As if them all matters.
George Clooney. You've been reading about all that? You've been seeing that?
I'm scared to say. I think she probably does matter more to them than George.
Possibly.
Yes.
Elton John. Oprah. Oprah.
Oprah came out today and said that she had nothing to do with it. She actually made a comment.
She has nothing to do with her.
This is Oprah's mean.
Leaving the Royals. Oh, like, I didn't convince her or talk to her.
Megxit?
Megxit.
Megxit, yeah.
It's funny. Yeah, the, no, they're kissing off.
There's got to be some way to get this effing bee out of my life.
There's Harry's inner monologue.
They're kissing all the right asses. The queen said, they've got 72 hours. She actually gave a 72-hour deadline to, I guess, work this out. Meanwhile,
sounds
Harry,
like it's worked out.
Can't we just cancel Harry? Didn't he dress up as a Nazi once?
Yeah, he did.
Why is he canceled?
He doesn't even have royal blood. He has horse training blood.
That's right. Should be canceled, though. He dressed as a Nazi.
You're right. I agree with you. Cancel him.
I mean, this guy was wild.
I want nothing more to do with him.
He remember he was in a pile of chicks in Vegas?
He was a partier.
Yeah, he was. He was a lot of fun. I always liked Harry.
Why isn't that blonde South African girl that he dated forever, why isn't she just sitting out there being really smug about it, like I told you so?
Oh, wasn't she
kind of... Where's her no-holds-barred interview?
Wasn't she kind of wild?
She was very wild. She was very hot, too. Well,
I think that would have worked for him.
She was very solid.
He needs someone who's not a total stiff. Oh, my God. She's a disaster.
Was it Lauren Pope?
Oh, boy. No, but she's hot. Who's that?
He nailed her, and she's blonde.
That might be. Look at that. There's 12 women he's dated.
Oh, Harry's had it all.
Nice.
That guy has just killed. He has just pounded pussy for decades.
Chelsea Davey?
Yeah, that's when he dated for a long, long time.
Oh. This guy's had a ball.
I think this.
I mean, honestly, I don't know why he ever wanted to get married.
Well, I think she forced him into it.
Probably. And this whole
I'm
thing,
tell
too.
Everyone how pink your wiener is if we don't get married.
Did you see all the, I think it was two of her friends who said that she's been complaining about their toxic life and that no one cares. You know, that whole thing. Megan, are you okay? Oh, thanks for asking. No one's asked. And I'm not okay.
Bitch, cunt, whore.
That was so fucking lame. You've had your ass kissed by the entire world. And by the way, you had no idea. You had no idea. How could she have no idea? Oh, you think that there would have been a billion people watching your wedding if you married the schlub you first? How come your first wedding wasn't, on worldwide TV? I hadn't been in suits yet.
No one saw it.
A billion people. I want them to fucking reimburse the UK for that wedding. That is bullshit.
Reimburse my time for paying any attention to it.
Bill Elton John. They have 100 trademarks and copyrights. Someone was suggesting today that they should be Apple brand ambassadors. That is Megan's idea, I guess. Wait. We can be Apple brand ambassadors.
Wait, like for Apple phones and stuff?
I guess so.
I guess they need help getting the word out about their product.
Tim Apple. Why would they be Apple brand ambassadors?
Because I want to be. Right? Isn't that really what it
boils
suggested down to?
How dare you!
It was suggested their endorsement be worth $100 million. No, stop it!
Oh, man. Can we please see a meeting between them and Tim Cook? Maybe I'll just ask Tim Cook at the premiere of some movie.
Tim Apple.
I'll do it if I don't have to text my stupid dad. Where's Thomas Markle in all this?
What did he say? He was disturbed?
Disappointed.
Disappointed, yeah. He's biding his time. Isn't it amazing how much better he looks in all this?
He does. I know. All of a sudden, yeah.
With his fake heart attacks. Here's my favorite royal headline of the weekend, though.
Queen Elizabeth spotted driving without a seatbelt.
My first question is, why is she driving?
Yeah, the pictures were funny.
No, she's 93.
There's a Secret Service guy in the back who looks completely scared out of his mind by her driving.
It's white knuckled the whole time.
Why is she driving?
She wants to, because Philip flips cars.
That's true. That's true. I'd rather her drive than Philip.
Yeah.
Does she just drive around like some like land of a giant castle and never outside?
No, I think she drove
to church.
She drove somewhere. Let's see. She spotted driving with a seatbelt on a country road near her Sandringham. Oh, maybe it isn't really in real traffic. I'd like to see her at some of those turnarounds.
Yeah, turn.
They have a lot of those.
Ben. Hey, kids, there's Big Ben.
Queen Elizabeth, I don't know what it is, but I've seen her three or four times behind the wheel of a Land Rover. It makes me want a Land Rover.
I
never really wanted one before.
Because can handle it?
Range Rover? Range Rover.
Isn't it a Land Rover made by Range Rover?
It's cool. I like it.
No, they're really cool cars.
And her old man was driving one, too. Is that what he...
Yeah. I think that's their car of choice over there.
Pretty cool.
Hold on to your dick!
There's Philip.
I don't think I get paid for that. It's a pretty big endorsement.
Is she a brand ambassador for Land Rover?
Range Rover. They don't do stuff like that.
Yeah, wait, yeah, they do. Haven't you ever seen that little symbol of the Queen that products put on, that they get put on products?
Oh, they get money for all that, do they?
I assume they did, but if it's a royal product that they use, then these companies are allowed to use like the symbol of the family, of the monarchy.
Is it strange when you're in the UK, and also I've been to a few of their colonies.
I've been to a few of their colonies.
I am from London.
What a great line. Yeah, have you? What commonwealth have you been to? World? Canada?
St. Kitts?
Nevis?
St. Kitts, by the way, when I got there, like, oh, yeah, everything is great here. It took us 3 years, but we just got all the roads redone because Princess Diana's coming. Oh, it's like the biggest project in the history of St. Kitts because Diana's coming for 5 minutes.
Oh, my God. Well, hey, whatever. You know, she'll take credit for it.
Whatever gets it done.
Why don't you go back to your home on Whore Island?
So what I was going to say was, when you go into a business in England and in their colonies as well, there's a picture of the Queen.
Yeah.
There's always a picture of the Queen. Not always, but almost always.
Yeah. Well, if you watch the miniseries The Queen on Netflix, when the revolt happened in Egypt, that's one of the things they took down, were her picture.
I thought people just liked the picture, but is that part of getting a license? Like, you have to prove you have a picture of the Queen up?
Maybe. Well, it's like, that's really...
She's not the hottest chick to have up in your store.
Well, there's the real question. Do they have to use the official photo, or could they use, like, an old one when she looked a lot better?
Yeah, she looked pretty good. I mean, when she got married, she was shapely.
Could they use a Photoshop of, like, her head on some really hot piece of ass?
Gray, round, and ready to pound.
No, I think that would get you to the guillotine. That would get you to the...
The tower?
The guillotine? The Tower of London.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's where all the baubles are.
Old bag with old bag in it.
All the what?
Baubles.
What are
all the baubles? Isn't that a term for jewelry?
Oh, I don't know.
Baubles?
I haven't been to as many of the...
B-A-U-B-L-E-S?
I haven't been to as many of their... What would you say?
Their colonies.
Colonies, yes. Yeah.
There
is the Yeoman's Guard there.
Oh, is that a fact?
The beef eaters.
They have a moat around. They still have a moat around the
It's
tower
dry
building.
Now, but yeah.
That was one of my favorite tourist things to do. I like doing touristy things, especially over there.
Okay, this is going to get really stupid. When you went to see the baubles,
yes.
The best part about it, I thought, was that they had a moving escalator, like a walking sidewalk. Did they have that when you were there?
I don't think I got to use the walking sidewalk.
So blue hairs and old birds couldn't just stare at a thing for like 30 minutes?
Oh, they had to move along.
Because it just moved along without you. That's kind of genius.
Pretty cool. I remember, too, when the guy was talking about the Tower of London, the tour guide or whatever, and he says built in 1066, I believe.
That's the big demarcation, like, yeah.
1066? Yeah. I mean, 1066? It's still standing there? And it's in decent shape. Now, when they say something, this is built in 1034, and it's just rubble, I go, who fucking cares?
It's not built anymore.
It's a piece of shit. Who cares how old it is? I can show you old things that suck. Moving along.
I can show you old things that suck.
Yeah.
Like the Queen.
Iran continues to be relatively interesting, and it's one of those moving parts kind of things. I saw a poll today, and this should surprise no one, as far as people viewing the killing of Soleimani.
Mm-hmm.
43% approved, 53% disapproved. Now, that's exactly the numbers that come up for virtually everything. And I swear, I know it sounds like a broken record talking about the divisiveness in this country, but it just seems like right now Trump could jump in front of a truck to save two small children, and 53% would go, oh, I don't approve.
Yeah,
I know they staged those terror attacks.
That one kid is really scratched up. He should have been more careful. And he could nuke Jamaica, and 43% would approve.
Probably.
Mm-hmm. I mean, doesn't it seem like that? Yeah. I know it's crazy.
Hey, man, this worked perfectly for him, really.
It's kind of, you know, now that they've admitted they shot the plane down.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, fuck!
Well, they never should have. The only thing he should have done is said that, oh, there's an imminent attack coming, so we had to kill him. Because that's the one thing people are questioning now. Which, does that really matter? He's dead.
It's so, you know.
We know why he was killed. He was killed because of the raid on the embassy in Iraq. period.
It seems like Jamoke is giving our money to terrorists.
It seems like there's virtually nothing he can do without an investigation being demanded because something is said, like, you know, four embassies. Who's after four? And it's like, I hear about that in a briefing. And it just gets, everything gets absolutely insane. But
I love, too, now that the other theory we had turned out to be true, where, remember their retaliatory attack on the base?
Where they missed everything?
Yeah.
And it's shit.
You know they warned us about it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Two and a half hours.
Yeah, it's all propaganda on their side. So it worked out perfectly for us.
Well, so far, I mean,
Everything's great.
From the first minute I said, you know, before I get all outraged, I'm going to wait and see how this thing pans out. And that's one thing very few people seem to do these days. So I'm going to give myself a pat on the back for that. But but they admitted they shot the plane down.
Yeah.
And, you know, we only had 10 seconds to react. And they kind of blamed Trump, too. Like, well, we hadn't done this. We would have been out there shooting off the, you know, which I don't think went over very well. So there's.
Congratulations, everybody.
There's an uproar. People in Iran are really pissed about this. And they're chanting death to the dictator.
Wow.
Instead of death to America.
I got to say, he's got a much better ring than death to America.
But. One thing is clear about Iranians, when you upset them, they want death immediately. They just want death.
Yeah, they don't
Somebody's got to die.
They don't want to wait to react.
No, they're pretty quick. I mean, they're in the streets. It's like the whole country's dismissed to chant death to America and make effigies around the clock. But now it seems like the whole country's dismissed, or they've dismissed themselves, to be outraged about the plane being shot down, which was, I mean.
Well, they got to make an effigy for the. Revolutionary guard guy that admitted it was his fault, and his quote was, "I wish I was dead."
And I said, part of me felt bad for him.
Perhaps.
I mean, not that what he did wasn't ridiculous, but I don't know.
That didn't work out well, didn't it? That didn't work out well at all, did it?
That's a perfect drop. That's exactly where it belonged. And of course, Trump tweets his support for the outraged Iranians just to pour some gas on the fire.
Yeah, in Farsi. That was kind of nice that he learned Farsi.
Ah, yes. Yeah, I'm sure he did. No, he speaks fluent.
It's my first day.
And Michael Moore can't stay out of this. Of course he can't. He tweets out an apology to Iran.
Which, that didn't work out too well for
Rose McGowan.
Rose McGowan, yeah.
Well,
I'm sorry.
It's just one of those, how dare you?
Yeah,
you don't speak for...
I'm sure
he does speak for a lot of people who would probably do the same stupid thing. But, you know, the cool thing about it is that so many Iranian citizens have apologized for holding the 52 American hostages back in 1979. That was so cool. Oh, yeah, they can't apologize because they'd be killed. I forgot.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, on the one hand, it sort of demonstrates that, you know, we have freedom of speech.
Better.
Say whatever we want. But...
I'm sorry.
I don't know. I just think it's a bad look. And I think, does he want clicks? Is that really what he's after here?
I really think he's just trying to poke the bear, which is the other side. It's got to be.
Well.
Got to be.
I mean, honestly, I don't give it a lot of thought, but it got a lot of people really riled up.
It's so late in the game.
It's just.
Do you guys remember me?
Yeah.
Because he hasn't done anything lately.
He really hasn't. Not much. I do remember at the, was it the Oscars in 2004 when he went off about Bush and Afghanistan?
After Bowling for Columbine?
Yeah, let's find the audio. It's Michael Moore saying that you know, this is a phony war, and were people pissed. And I think a lot of people.
And the Oscar goes to.
Wow, by the way, Diane Lane looks great here.
Michael Moore!
Here he is coming to the stage.
Pause for 1 second.
Excuse me. Well, it's going to take him for a while to get to the stage. So
yeah,
go ahead.
Excuse me.
This is the first Academy Award.
What were you going to say?
I can't believe he's mic'd there.
And Michael. He's not. It's just how loud he is.
Excuse me. Oh, is that cool?
Excuse me. Excuse me. Excuse me. Excuse me.
What were you going to say? I'll pause it now. There's Harvey Weinstein in the crowd.
Of course. Of course he's there.
Next to Renee Zellweger.
And who's kissing his ass? Renee Zellweger?
Looks like, yeah.
I was just going to say that Diane Lane, and I know people are really were put out by having to fast forward through the Leif Garrett interview, but Leif Garrett nailed Diane Lane when she was at her absolute hottest.
He did?
Yes. And he was, I believe he was living with Nicole Sheridan at the time, and she'd come to visit him on a set. And Nicole left in sort of a huff, so I think he just went over and banged Diane Lane. just because he was, you know, I don't know, he's bored or he wanted to do some penis friction.
Was this before or after she went, when he was in Australia making that movie?
It was before that.
Okay.
Yes, I think it was. Okay. Might have been around. Did you guys remember? I don't even know if I mentioned this. Did you guys? Okay, I realize I'm in dangerous territory talking about Leif Garrett. Do you remember that he was in The Outsiders?
He was.
Yeah, I completely forgot that.
Wasn't he the dude that dies? The guy that.
Spoiler alert.
Come on, the movie's 80 years
1983.
Old. No, the guy that Ralph Macchio kills.
What? And that's why spoiler alert.
Honestly,
I don't remember.
I looked it up and he got some good reviews for it. In fact, I'm surprised that he could do The Outsiders and not have that sort of revault his career, but it didn't.
Hey, Diane Lane.
Sure, heroin didn't help.
She
she was at her absolute zenith hottest, too. When he nailed her, when he went in for some penis friction, that was the best friction you could ever get out of Diane Lane.
All right. Opinion on this, because I think she got more attractive as she got older.
I generally agree.
Kind of like the Kate Beckinsale disease.
She is a total MILF.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Absolute.
She's 54 and she still looks great.
She's a gold star MILF. Is there such a thing as a gold star MILF?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
How far are we, Brandon?
56.
Do we have a boner line?
I don't have a boner line. I did receive like 114 calls.
Oh, great.
It took a long time to dump them down, but I haven't had a chance to edit them.
So excited to hear them. Here we go, Michael Moore. It's 2004, right?
Excuse me!
On behalf of our producers, Kathleen Glynn and Michael Donovan from Canada, I'd like to thank the Academy for this. I've invited my fellow documentary nominees on the stage with us.
Oh, how neat.
And
why are you breathing
we would
so
like
hard?
To... They are here in solidarity with me because we like nonfiction. We like nonfiction and we live in fictitious times. We live in a time where we have fictitious election results that elects a fictitious president. We live in a time where we have a man sending us to war for fictitious reasons, whether it's the fictitious of duct tape or the fictitious of orange alerts. We are against this war, Mr. Bush. Shame on you, Mr. Bush. Shame on you. And anytime you've got the Pope and the Dixie Chicks against you, your time is up.
He's eating that up.
I got to admit, he really did make something happen there. He got the place fired up. And how far we've come from...
Can be entertaining, I guess.
It's a fictitious war, boo, to fuck Trump. Yay! Everybody standing. Yeah, standing ovation for fuck Trump, wasn't there, for De Niro?
Yeah, Tony Awards.
Wow. Well, that was wild. Okay, a fun, fast, simple, and easy experience, all while saving you fat stacks of cash. That's what our friends and studio sponsors at DealsInTheD.com are all about. Do you want to save time while saving money? Do you want to have fun while having a fantastic experience? What experience? I sound like Dan Quayle there, don't I? Isn't he the first one to say experience?
Didn't Napoleon Dynamite say experience?
Talking about, it was the vice presidential debate, and he said, I have the experience. He's so out of his... I mean, there's no way he should have ever been in a debate on national television.
Our former vice president.
I think it's before Benson says, I knew Jack Kennedy. Jack Kennedy was a friend of mine. Senator Quayle, you're no Jack Kennedy. Place just erupts. I've never heard a debate crowd erupt quite like that. But he says experience.
I'll see if I can find it. Yeah.
So I'm going to say experience.
Is this it? This might not go back far enough, though. That's my only word here.
Probably does.
Come on.
I have far more experience than many others that sought the office of vice president of this country. I have as much experience in the Congress.
Thank you.
Were you worried?
Experience.
Yes.
When he sought the presidency.
Lloyd Benson's looking at him like he's fucking nuts, too.
He is fucking nuts.
I will be prepared to deal with the people
in the
Bush administration if that unfortunate event would ever occur.
Senator Benson?
Senator Utahs.
I served with Jack Kennedy. I knew Jack Kennedy. Jack Kennedy was a friend of mine. Senator, you're no Jack Kennedy.
Called for, Senator. what a lame Ooh. Is that the lamest Ooh. Comeback ever?
Pretty bad.
And why was that?
That was really uncalled for, Senator.
Nice comeback!
You're the one that was making the comparison, Senator.
Yeah.
And I'm one who knew him well. Ooh. And frankly, I think you're so far apart in the objectives you choose for your country. That I did not think the comparison was well taken.
Ooh. Ooh. Can I hear? I want to hear him say experience again. Yeah, I mean, it is memorable, isn't
Congress
it?
Has, that sought the office of vice president of this country. I have as much experience in the Congress as Jack Kennedy did when he sought the presidency.
Why do you talk that way?
Man, I want to get some experience. Do you have fun? While having a fantastic experience? If yes is your answer, then you wish to visit Zot Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram, Zot Ford, or the best kept secret in Detroit, Zot Toyota. Because that's where Thad Zot, Jeff Schneider, Todd Zot, and Steve Gabar take great pride in rolling out the red carpet to Drew and Mike Listers and Bentley. All making buying or leasing your next newer pre-owned vehicle the most refreshing thing you'll do in 2020. So go surf their ridiculous deals and massive inventory at dealsinthed.com. You can find anything. Whatever's on your mind, it's there, yep. And you can buy what you pay for it. New, pre-owned, whatever. Dealsinthed.com. And then tell them that we sent you. And I hope Bentley gets off to a good start over there.
Yeah.
We need to make that work. Yeah. Oh, we ask so much of our people.
I know. They come through.
Brandon, how's your book of the week, your lock of the week coming? Your new lock of the week.
My new lock of the week. Do you want one for the college game or do you want one for the entire week?
You can do college game.
Think about that for a second.
The under.
Mybookie.ag, promo code Drew. All you have to do is use our promo code Drew to activate the offer. That's promo code Drew to get extra cash from mybookie.ag. If you want to put 1,000 in, you get 500 extra. Free money to play with. Now, be sure to read the rules. It is approaching quickly, the Super Bowl. So many fun prop bets. Man. So many ways to make the Super Bowl even better, if that's possible, by having prop bets. And I like the ones where, you know, will Edelman have more than 5 receptions? Or
yeah, over-unders on individual players.
Yeah, because then every play matters. Or will this running back have more than 73 yards? Yep. And for some reason, I like betting on the odd running back, you know, who will have, like, over 11 yards.
Is it going to be harder now that New England's not in it? Because they're the ones that always had the odd running back who would have a great day.
Well, San Francisco's got 3.
True.
So, no, there's always that odd bet that's kind of weird. And what do you know? I forgot who it was. I think it was New England's White.
Yeah.
Who, it was like 2.5 receptions. And I think he got 3 on the first drive.
One so right excited. Away. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, all those great bets to make. And the championship tonight, actually, why not have a little bet on that and make it even more exciting? Head over to mybookie.ag to make your predictions a reality. Most trusted in the industry. If you're looking for a sports book to make some bets for the bowl games, well, the last bowl game and the NFL playoffs and the Super Bowl, mybookie is where to go. Mybookie.ag, promo code Drew. Okay. Man, you know, somebody just told me today that they know we're going to fill the gap left behind by Maz with farts and boners and Bezos.
Oh, cool. Well, we can play Bezos if that's what they want.
I don't think she likes Bezos.
What?
I know. You know, it's really weird. There's somebody else who just hates the drops from MacGyver.
What?
Or not MacGyver. What's the?
MacGruber. The Will Forte drops.
Yeah. I think that's 3 people who just literally
they never
go
seen
epileptic
it?
If they hear MacGruber drop. I don't know what the it's like.
Remember, you want me to change? Fuck you!
Remember when that guy used to get seizures?
I think you're really ugly.
When he heard Mary Hart's voice?
Yes, yeah.
I don't think it's the content. I think it's the voice. I think it's one of those freak things. Hmm. It's crazy. All right.
I don't know what I'm doing and everybody hates me.
Yeah, it's really.
Hope you enjoy being date raped.
They just hate all of them. I don't know. Crazy. Okay. So moving along. There was a lot of just sort of odd celebrity news. Like there was a story, I think you sent it to me, Brandon, about Vince Neil. He's killing it.
Yes.
He's working out. The trainer's nutritionist. It's like, you know, it's like putting Humpty Dumpty back together again. All the president's men, everyone is working on Vince Neil. And apparently he is going to be so buff.
First thing I did when I saw that story when Brandon sent it over, I went straight to Cameo to see if there's any video proof of it.
Oh, great call.
But it doesn't look like he's done any new ones recently. So they could be new if that's the case and that story's a lie.
This is the most recent one, and trust me, he does not look ripped. He does not look trim. He does not look like he's lost any fat in the face yet, but here it is.
Hey, Jim, Vince Neil here. Hey, buddy.
Hey, only one hey.
Have a Motley Christmas and a happy crew year, and 2020 is an all new beginning, so keep rocking.
Looks like you're keeping your bod pretty tight.
14 seconds, best $400 that guy ever spent.
He phones it in more than anyone, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He's charging $400.
So does he look like he's been slimming down?
He looks like he's working on lighting on that one, maybe.
Nikki Six came out and said that he is on this crazy regimen. He's eating better. He's working out. So, hey, who knows? I don't know if
you've been working out or what, but your body's looking good.
You know, for this tour, they want him to look good. They want him to, you know, we saw that video. Everybody's seen the video of him.
That was the only thing holding back a giant investment in Motley Crue was that, you know, your lead singer is a fat fuck.
I thought he was fighting with Tommy about who needs more help.
Vince, don't you just think he's going to get lap banned and that's going to be what he does?
I hope so.
Probably should.
He kind of drives me nuts.
I know.
The other three I kind of like. Even Tommy, I kind of like. Vince, I don't know. What?
Why are you breathing so hard?
Did not understand why Motley Crue could not move forward without Vince Neil. I thought the heart of the band is not Vince, but that voice is so identifiable as, you know, part of a band.
Maybe Geddy Lee can do it.
He can hit the notes. So yeah, there's Vince. And then Dina Lohan. This is shocking news. She gets a DUI and, you know, is there video of this, by the way? Because they described it as...
I couldn't find any.
First of all, just so you know that things are going swimmingly for Dina Lohan, and, you know, because there were rumors that maybe she was in debt quite a bit and might even have to declare bankruptcy again and that sort of thing. But judging from the fact that she was leaving Outback Steakhouse, it sounds to me like Dina's doing great. And that's not a knock at Outback Steakhouse.
I love Outback.
I'd eat it right now.
She T-bones a car... leaving Outback Steakhouse, and then she takes off. She doesn't stop.
Great move.
She drives to her house.
The person she hit, isn't that who followed her?
Yeah, her. Called the cops on the way. The cops were right behind them, apparently, when they got to Dina's mansion.
Ugh.
If she lives in a mansion, I'm not even sure, but she's driving a Mercedes. So things can't be too bad for Dina Lohan. Unfortunately, they asked her to get out of the car, and she fell on her face. She fell right when she got out of the car.
And how bummed did she get at Outback?
She wouldn't take
Was she by herself at Outback, or was she?
She was. I think she was alone in the car. She's probably with somebody, but she would not take a breath test or a blood test.
Oh, that's great.
So, her attorney did say something to the effect that there really isn't any evidence that she was drunk.
Great lawyer.
She didn't take the test, so how can you say
that?
She
how
was
that
bummed?
Works?
I don't know. She might have PTSD from the accident. Maybe that's what happened.
God bless the New York Post right away. You know, they do their whole article about what happened, and the very last line is, her daughter, Lindsay, 33, flaunted her body in a lacy undie social media post this weekend.
Hey.
Is that really important in
the
story?
Can we see that post, by the way? I'll fall for it.
It's interesting, too. Remember, last we heard from the Lindsay Lohan was that she was going to take over managing her sister's career. And I think we decided that that's a better manager than Lindsay had, which was Dina Lohan. And so far, it's proving to be true.
That's pretty fascinating. I want to say this, though. I thought Dina Lohan looked cute in her mugshot.
Really?
Did you see it?
No.
I mean, considering that she just T-boned somebody and left the scene of the accident and fell on her face. I've always thought Dina Lohan was cute.
Really?
She's pretty. I do.
I know too much about her.
I don't think she's that.
That's for a mugshot? I'll take her. For a mugshot?
For a mugshot, I suppose.
Well, we can seek some help from the audience on that.
And Lindsay in her underwear, I don't really see that picture.
Right, yeah, who's going to want to stick that? Okay.
I might almost prefer Dina Lohan to Lindsay Lohan. But that really says more about Lindsay Lohan than Dina Lohan. I can't stand Lindsay Lohan. She's just a beast.
Are you saying that Michael Lohan's jeans are the bad ones? Like, that's what happened? Dina's no prize.
Well, Dina's had her issues. But I'm on Team Dina.
Dina is still having her issues.
I can't believe I just said I'm on Team Dina Lohan.
I can't find this. Oh, she took the picture down.
Oh. I thought it was getting lots of clicks.
No, but now I want to see her in her undies.
She's one of the...
I just do.
She is one of the people on Twitter who has a bazillion followers.
Here's the picture. This sucks. Can you come over here and see it?
She's got like 8 million followers, and she'll get 50 or 150 likes.
Yeah.
That's how unengaged her audience is. Okay, I'm coming.
Her undies pick, it's like, unless there was more than this one, but she's wearing like, big-ass underwear.
Yeah, that's the end of those underwears.
Oh, really?
What a waste of time.
She's been nude in movies before. She was in a porn flick almost.
Oh, with James Dean.
Yeah.
Let's just say they had to throw her underwear out at the A&P.
Well, I'm sorry I wasted anyone's time with that.
It's a fact.
I'm glad she removed it off of Instagram. That's terrible.
And for the record, since we were on Cameo...
I just want to make it official. I broke up with Lindsay Lohan. If I didn't do it already, I will not ever have a relationship with Lindsay Lohan. I just dumped her before she could ever even have a chance to dump me.
What if she wants to manage you?
Nope. Not interested.
I did just go through the last 50... newest members of the Cameo family.
Oh, great.
I cannot tell you the name of one person aside from C.J. Mosley, who's a football player.
Former Lion.
Everybody
right?
else.
Ty Johnson.
Okay.
The Lion Ty Johnson.
Everybody else is it's just, who are these
Ty people? Johnson's on there?
Yeah.
I'm starting, I believe that Cameo is going to start slipping soon. I just have a feeling.
Never.
I think it's got some life. Mark Rippon. I don't think, somebody sent me, was it a text message? Somebody sent me a text that I haven't listened to Stern a lot in the last couple of weeks, but the message was that High Pitch Eric has now made over $100,000 on cameos.
Wow.
He does 15 a day at $65 a pop. And
he's an IQ of 61, I believe.
Yes, he is making a ton of money, but
he also is on a lot of government assistance.
Well, that's the end of that.
I'm telling you, the economy is eventually going to turn, and the first thing people are going to cut out is useless wasting of their money, like shout-outs from B celebrities.
And GoFundMes and Kickstarters.
Yeah. Well, I use a calculator for that.
There's some really dumb
is Kickstarter
really
even a
thing?
I have not heard of a Kickstarter in like 3 years.
Are they still around?
I don't know.
That's funny.
All GoFundMe now, or there's a couple other ones, but
Patreon.
Well, you know what's funny about Kickstarter? Because when we were kickstarting this show, people were saying, you got to do a Kickstarter. And my feeling was, yeah, but then I got to promise people something for...
it's still
much hassle, and then they have to pick it up, and do they really want it, or don't they want to just help us? I decided that, isn't a donate bar really better for everyone? Just donate?
Well, I think so.
I mean, maybe that was selfish of me.
You could do a Kickstarter.
I didn't have a lot of time at the time.
Here's one for Orba, a musical instrument designed for your hands. They needed $50,000. They made $1.4 million.
A Kickstarter?
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, can you check if Andy Dick has done a cameo lately?
Sure.
It seems like Kickstarter's been more for, like, products now. Like, they want to make something. They don't have the money to put it in production, but if you pre-buy it now, we will.
It still flies I've seen a couple stories recently about documentaries that were made with Kickstarters because they needed to raise $60,000, and the people loved the topic, and so they wanted to copy the script or... somebody's clothes or whatever.
Here's the latest from Andy.
How recent is it?
I don't know. It doesn't have dates.
Ellen.
God. I'm in a brick crap house.
What? No, I'm good. Thanks, baby. Hi, I have a new girlfriend. How do you like that? I'm not putting you on camera. Don't.
Oh,
me.
Come on.
They don't let me. Ellen, who's your friend Leah and Michelle want me to say happy birthday from your tripod. Tip up.
Wait, just flip the bird.
Can I put you on camera?
Oh, wait.
Oh, she ran away.
She runs away.
Oh.
But for real, happy. How old are you? One? We need to.
I guarantee you she's
like,
hot.
Oh, light this sage.
Oh.
And get rid of the ghosts in this place, please. Baby. What? Can we light the sage?
I can't remember why we're not talking to Andy. It's been so long.
Well,
there's this girl.
It was a half
was
second.
Was she cute, Brandon?
Yeah, I guess.
I told you. Was she older than one? I hope.
I don't know. Maybe he'll send me some pictures of her on my cell phone.
Okay. Let's call him. I'll leave my voicemail.
For real, though, Ellen. Happy birthday.
Sometimes I think Andy listens to his voicemails, which is really strange. The box will be full if he's still out of action the way he was.
He looks like he's doing better.
The Hall Financial Hotline is open. And speaking of Hall Financial, I need to mention that if you're paying more than 4% on your mortgage or you have lingering high interest rate credit card debt, boy, that's, you know, people that have high interest rate credit card debt, that's insane. That is such a recipe for disaster. You know, paying the minimum, paying high percentage, and your principal, maybe you owe $30,000. You keep owing $30,000, even though you're paying $200 a month, month after month after month. It's crazy. Want to talk to Hall Financial about trying to do something with that high interest rate credit card debt, like pay it off or consolidate a couple loans and pay a lower rate. You may or may not know now that rates are within fractions of a percentage point of their lows for the last 10 years. So call the company with over 1,000 five-star reviews, including fabulous reviews from so many Drew and Mike listeners. They really go out of their way for our people, which is fantastic. Get the ball rolling. Call 248-308-5000 or go to davidhallmortgage.com. You can go to drewandmike.hallfg.com. Start saving money, refinancing your house for who knows how long. Maybe the next 10 years, 20 years, 25 years. It only depends on how long your mortgage is, which is usually long. Equal housing lender. Try Hall Financial. You won't be disappointed. NMLS number 1467435. And Andy Dick.
Andy.
Think he'll answer?
I don't know. Maybe.
Sunday.
No. Is this Andy?
Yeah.
Andy. Wait, you got your song on. Hang on. Crank it.
Andy.
How you doing, Andy?
Andy.
Andy.
I like it. Andy. What are you guys doing?
We're just doing
the show. They took my phone. They got into my iCloud, took my iCloud. I don't have anybody's contact, so I didn't even know it was you calling.
Oh, man.
I have to answer every call now and then tell people.
Are you bummed you answered?
I got to go. No, we were just, I love talking to you guys.
Yeah, we were just looking at your cameo because that's how we see how well you're doing. And we thought you were
in
a better place.
You can see there's some ups and there's some downs.
You got it.
Is there any way you could text us a picture of your new girlfriend? Because that was the thing we were most fascinated by.
She, every girl I date, and I go through them about once every 2 weeks now, for some reason, they will not let me post them. She literally this morning said, don't put me on Cameo.
I won't. Do your girlfriends and ex-girlfriends, are they part of a union of some kind where they negotiate rules? Past,
yeah,
present, and future?
I pretend not to date Andy Dick.
They're
just like, what it is, well, one of them, I told you about this one. She went to Loyola, Paramount. I would go pick her up, you know, at school. And she was 20.
Cool.
You know, and I was like 49 or 50. And she would say, oh, hi, Dad. Thanks for picking me up. You might not do that. So then, you know, and I went out with her for 2 years. I met her in one of my rehabs. and she was the first one I just outright asked, why can I not post anything of you and me together on any social media? She said, because I have political aspirations.
What?
And I really laughed at her. I laughed at her face. She was 20, and I thought she was, like, dumb, kind of. Well, she wasn't dumb. She was definitely crazy.
Wait,
you know, and anybody that's dating Andy,
you just said that
a little bit dumb.
You just said you were dating someone for a couple of years, and you thought they were kind of dumb.
No, yeah, but I messed up. She's not dumb. I just couldn't see her, you know, landing any political job because she was not that she was dumb. She was like not. I don't know what she was like, on the spectrum or something, but she was absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah, I don't
know. So I looked past all the craziness.
There aren't many absolutely gorgeous politicians, but I want to go back because we lost you a few months ago.
But wait, I want to tell you what happened with her.
Oh, okay.
I'm
sorry.
We stopped dating, and then she works for a senator now, a female senator.
Oh, wow. So she was right.
So she was right.
Wow. Well, good for her.
I know. And you know what? If she would have posted things with her and I on it, she might not have got that job. And now she's the press secretary for her or whatever.
So well, you know,
she got promoted. She's only 24.
This kind of makes me sad, and I wonder if it makes you feel sad, bad, or otherwise. The fact that she would not want something posted with you because she feels it might hurt her down the road. I mean, it's reached the point where...
Yeah, but I get it. She's right. Come on, my reputation is so bad. But my thing is, hey, as long as we're still fucking, I don't care about posting anything. I don't need to post anything. I'm taking mental pictures. And anyways, I took a bunch of pictures too, just for my, you know, my stuff.
Oh, could you send us a picture of her too?
Without the face?
She'll get me. She'll get me.
No, she won't. We won't. No.
Hey, I never
talked to Trump.
Don't Andy, I never shared that picture of that dude's butthole you sent me that one day. I never shared that.
Well, I don't even know who that was. That was
send it back to him, Brandon.
You wouldn't recognize that butthole.
I'm going to send it to you right now.
Actually, send it back to me.
And you sent us a beautiful woman, too. Yeah. And it's really funny because your face is in the upper corner. And you look kind of a little creepy. But it's a great picture.
Perfect.
Yeah. So, this new girl is 27. She's so cute, so smart. She went to it's one of the Ivy League schools, like Princeton or
Cornell,
like that.
Yale, Harvard.
No,
Brown.
I can't remember, and she's
Dartmouth.
No, I get in her Brown, but she is so nice and fun, and she loves me.
Whatever we're
she,
weird.
She actually, she you can see her in some of the cameos.
I have a very weird.
There's a cameo with her where she has these two buns in her hair. So you can see that one.
What, like Princess Leia buns?
And she kind of like that.
How do we look?
There's two buns.
What's her name?
There she is.
You go to my cameo. You go to my cameo. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Oh, very cute.
Whoa.
Yeah, she's hopping and bopping around, right? He's stupid.
I have to ask you a really strange question. I can only ask you because you're bisexual, and that is when you said something about the brown, I know you're making a joke, but is anal sex different with a guy versus a chick? I mean, when you're with a chick, you go, well, she has a vagina, so obviously. I mean, do you know what I'm getting at?
Well, it's different. Excuse me. My roommate's a little sick, and I'm starting to get it. I'm doing a radio interview right now, you guys. I'm doing a radio interview live. Okay. But what I was saying was, you know what? Having sex with anybody is different. This person as opposed to that person or this. But
with your eyes closed, could you tell the difference?
The real question you should be asking is like, and somebody asked me last night at a party when I went with my girl. A girl said, I noticed you're liking girls lately. That's the weird thing. I flip flop back and forth, back and forth. Can you go talk closer to him?
Andy, where do you meet crazy. Where do you meet these girls?
I'm doing a live radio interview right now. Wait, say that again. Say that again.
I was just curious, where do you meet these girls at?
Hey, hi. How you doing?
Hey.
What's up?
Howdy.
Hey. Can we ask her permission to send a picture?
That's my roommate's friend. That's my roommate's friend.
Can we get the roommate's friend's picture, maybe?
You don't want a picture of this.
Oh boy.
I can't believe she just showed up. I actually do have to hang up because I gotta get rid of her. Fucking told him I'm doing a fucking radio thing.
Well, we could call back at a better time. I'm glad you're back and circulating again.
Never mind. She just walked out. She's such a fucking psycho bitch. Why is she calling me? Well, yeah, go. Why? Oh, God.
No, that's a dude,
so much
right?
Drama.
Yeah, what's going on there?
Yeah, this is the. See, I've been staying at the art gallery, and on my dead girlfriend's mattress. You know my girlfriend that moved to Brooklyn that worked at Vidal Sassoon died.
Oh,
like really?
Wait, when did she die? Just recently?
A couple months ago. Oh. Yeah, and I kind of went. That's when I started. You can see in the cameos, I stopped cutting my hair and shaving. I look crazy. I look like a psychopath.
No, but did that lead
to bouncing back because this new girl? I like this new girl.
Good.
Andy, have you ever been to a party and you like really like this girl, and then you end up hitting on a guy at the same party, a guy and a girl, or can a guy take your attention away from a female easily, or vice versa?
I hit on anybody I find attractive inside and out. Or sometimes just out. No, seriously, I don't care. And then everybody I date, I say, you do know about me, right? I'm bi, and I will date other people while we're dating.
Well, at least it's honest.
Is there anyone that's bisexual in your world that would really surprise us? I mean, in terms of celebrities.
Yes, but they would never. I wouldn't tell you, and they deny it.
Well, DJ Qualls.
DJ Qualls just came out.
No.
Yes, he did.
Skinny guy?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
The new guy?
I was in a movie with him. I was in Road Trip with him.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Yeah. That's a great movie.
That's interesting. So, but, yeah, there are people that I started dating that became very, very big celebrities after I dated them. And then they... You know, and we went out for years, and then they just denied it. You know, they say, that never happened. What are you? We're sitting here alone. It's just me and you. Why? Well, you don't have to hide it from me because I know what happened.
Yeah, DJ Qual said that I'm gay, have been the whole time, which was kind of a funny way of putting it. And like John Travolta is one I wonder about because he's been accused of being with so many. I mean, not that should be accused of being with a guy, but I don't understand why John Travolta doesn't just say, yeah, I am attracted to men. What's to lose now?
Scientology.
It's
like not, it's like not kosher.
Well, then just quit Scientology and,
by the way,
and
I
come
met
out.
Him. I met him when I was probably about 20 or 21 in Brooks Bath. It's a sauna on Beverly across from Erewhon. And they had a men's section and a women's section. And I met him in the sauna, butt naked.
Really?
And yes, there was like, I could tell it could have went down. No. You get your own. Are you kidding me? There's another thing over there. He's sick and he's like trying to drink out of my cup.
Wow, that's so Travolta. That seems so obvious. I mean, that seems very public. I would think he would be very cautious if he's trying to hide this, which it seems he is.
Well, he must. He must know that everybody knows. And then, you know, every year I get and I like him.
And, yeah, I do too.
You know, yeah, I really do. He's a really great guy, and he invites me to. I get a call from his office. This is John Travolta's office. I'm like, oh yeah, right. What do you want? And they're like, we want to invite you to our big gala event this Saturday or whatever. Every year I get the call. I'm like, oh, okay. Is there, and my big question is, my big question is always, is there a salmon Caesar salad in it for me? Yes. Okay, I'll be there. Fine.
Wait,
I know they're just trying to suck me into Scientology. I know that.
Oh!
I would assume, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But,
have you ever done it?
I show up and I'm like, yeah, I go. I get my salmon Caesar salad, and I'm like, wait, so they're going to set me in the back. There's like 1,000 people there, but they don't. They bring me right up to John Travolta's table, and I'm sitting with John Travolta, David Blaine, the magician.
Yeah, yeah.
Is he Scientologist?
No.
Maybe he likes Caesar salads.
Him too. Yeah. Yeah.
They know about all the cameo money you guys are making.
Yeah. Yeah. I wonder if he's doing, is he doing cameo?
I have not seen him on there.
I think he is. David Blaine? Really? Is Blaine on cameo?
Actually, I should be surprised.
There's so many people on cameo now. It's stunning.
You know who's not?
Oh, really?
I saw on your Instagram you were hanging out with Ozzy Osbourne.
Yeah. I was staying at a hotel that he was filming in. So I'm like, oh, well, I know him, and I know Sharon, and I know their kids. So I just went on the set and just was hanging there for a little bit.
Is he healthy? Because that's been the thing about him.
He looks and sounds way better than he ever did.
Good.
Like, cause he was circling the drain with one foot in the grave.
Oh, yeah, he's physically hurt bad. Well, that too. I want to ask you about I want to bring this up only because I thought it might lead to a story. We're watching Vince Neil's cameos. He charges $400 a cameo and gives worst, most phoned-in cameos of anyone I've ever seen. Do you know Vince?
What band was he in again?
Motley Crue.
Yeah, I do know him. And he, are people buying him?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
He's trying to lose a lot of weight.
He needs to lose a lot of weight, did you say?
He's huge.
He's trying.
He's really
big. Yeah.
And they're going on a giant tour with Def Leppard and Poison. And so they've got every trainer and nutritionist around the clock trying to get him to slim down.
Wow. That's so sad. He's a good guy. I like him. Hmm. But, you know, he doesn't do what I do. I've been doing this for 30 years. You know, this cameo thing is perfect for me. A cameo comes in, and if I feel like doing it, I can do it right now, or I have 6 days to do it. Or they can cancel it, or I can just say I don't want to do it.
Yeah.
And so I can just sit there and think about it, and then when I do it, I pretty much do them in one take. There's only a few times I've started again, and it's mostly because somebody will start talking in the background or something.
Or
but
coughing.
Even that, I'm letting... Yeah, I know. Can I go over there? They're saying coughing too loud. Go back over there. Or I'll go over there. Actually, I'll go over there. No, I'll go over there.
Make the sick person move.
He's on my bed. And I'm on the cement floor.
Well, Andy, it's a spontaneity of your cameos that makes them good. And you know what else is on there? Is Tommy Lee from Motley Crue. You must know Tommy Lee.
Yeah, very well, because... you know, Pamela. I know Pamela very well.
Yeah, you guys are doing lines at the roast for.
Wait, did I tell you that one?
Yes, you did.
Yes, yeah.
Oh, please don't air that. That was years ago.
Yeah, it was long time ago.
Yeah,
it was
a long time ago. And with Courtney too.
And with Courtney, yeah.
Yeah.
Courtney loved this line off my cock, bitch. I used to hang out at Pam's house in Malibu.
Oh, wow.
With my kids, and her kids would be playing ball. Like, I think they were playing wiffle ball.
Oh, so you know Brandon.
And, yeah. Well, I know them all, but I'm not a great... You need to cover your fucking mouth when you cough. Like, for real. Use your jacket. Put it in your jacket so it muffles the sound. Ah,
should we call 911 for that guy?
I'm going to have to call somebody. I'm going to get him a life alert. But, well, that's cute. I like that. But, wait. So, yeah. On one of the rows, I... You know, you can't get away with this shit now, but maybe I still can. I don't know. But I grabbed Tommy Lee's crotch on the air. You can look that one up.
Oh, that was...
Like, I just go right for it.
Was that Pamela's? Was that Pamela's bros?
Pam, it might have been. Because I grabbed her boobies, and then I grabbed his crotch. Oh, this is my friend calling me. No, he's not doing good. He's like... doing drugs again.
Uh-oh.
You want to hang on 1 second?
Sure.
Let me tell him I'll call him back.
Sure.
I did send Andy the picture of the butthole that he sent me.
Send him the picture. Look. Send him the picture of the girl with the girl too.
Yeah, with the caption that said, "Hey, send us more of these, less of these."
Last time we talked to Andy, he was teasing the last days of Phil Hartman. We haven't talked to him since that aired, have we?
No.
He hung up.
Oh,
it's okay. He sounds a lot better.
Give him a few minutes. Maybe he'll call us.
Oh.
Yeah, he sounds good.
He's going to get really sick, though, from that guy coughing.
Oh, my God. Sounds terrible.
There's always a circus around him. Well, I think he needs to be around the circus.
I wanted to ask him what's up with this road trip that he plans on doing. He's been asking and talking online about buying a van and traveling around the U.S., so I'm not sure if that's what he's doing.
Well, I want to find out about my upcoming movie role.
I was going to ask him about that, yeah. You're supposed to be an announcer at a baseball game?
Football, I think.
All right, weird.
It's Division III, Part 2.
Yeah, that's right.
Division III, Part 2. Yeah, it hasn't been.
I thought he was
going
to become a softball coach. That
reminds me that I saw something on Netflix. Did you know that Benchwarmers has a sequel?
It does.
Yes.
Was Andy in the original?
No, but Spade was.
Oh, yeah. No, I remember the movie and Napoleon Dynamite. Yeah.
Benchwarmers 2. That's got to be bad, though.
By the way,
Rob Schneider. But the new one, who do you think they got to be the main character of Benchwarmers 2?
Spade's not in it?
John Heater's got to be in it, right?
You're going to love this cast.
Really?
You're going to love it.
I can't tell if he's being facetious or not, Drew.
So, Benchwarmers 2 has Chris Klein and John Lovett.
Scooby-Dooby-Doo-Wop-Bop.
Really?
Yeah.
Scooby-Dooby-Doo-Wop-Bop.
That sounds awful.
Well, Scooby-Dooby-Doo-Bop.
Lovett's can be good. I don't know. It's
enough to carry a movie?
I did not watch it. But
did you say John Heater is or is not in it?
I don't think anybody from the original is in it.
Okay. Frank Audia sent me an email, by the way.
Do you want to know what Rotten Tomatoes gives Benchwarmers 2, Breaking Balls?
What does it give it?
Well, there's no thermometer for critics, but the fans gave it 22%.
Ouch. I'm not surprised.
Frank Audia?
He sent me an email. He went to the Napoleon Dynamite reunion.
He did.
In Redford.
Yeah.
At the Redford Theater. He said it was great. He said they were all extremely nice.
Oh, cool.
So, yeah, that was a big hit.
Did anybody ask John Grease about Real Genius?
Don't know about that. So, anyway, yeah, I was running down we got kind of sidetracked because I was running down the celebrity news.
Yeah, you mentioned DJ Qualls to him.
He didn't really have a lot to say about that.
It's not like you might have known something, though.
Ethan Suplee.
Wow.
From My Name is Earl, Remember the Titans, Clerks, Road Trip.
Tuna!
Tuna
and Blow.
From Blow.
Oh my God. We got to ask Andy about him.
I don't remember Andy him was in Road Trip at all.
It said he was in Road Trip.
Huh.
Was he?
God, I don't know. Mallrats? I know he's in Mallrats.
Yeah, he's in Chasing Amy, too. Yeah. He lost 200 pounds.
Yeah.
And I think he thinks he's hot. Judging from the picture I saw, I believe he thinks he's hot. And that is unforgivable. And therefore, if I lived anywhere near him, I'd be sneaking into his house and injecting fat into him. I would roofie him and inject him with pounds and pounds of fat.
I believe he is a Scientologist for whatever that's worth. That's almost a bloop. He kind of looked in the one picture we saw.
You're right,
Brandon. Don't you think he kind of looked like Dan Blazarian? You know who Dan Blazarian is? Do you know who Dan Blazarian is?
A name rings a bell.
He was like kind of an early influencer. He's the dude who has a big mansion. He's made a ton of money. He was in the military, but then I guess he inherited a bunch of cash. And
his dad was a corporate raider.
He was a professional poker player as well. And he kind of started this. He was one of the first to have an Instagram that had videos of his lavish life. Tons of guns.
Tons of chicks.
Tons of chicks. Naked chicks all over him. He threw that porn star off the roof, and she broke her leg.
Right.
She
yeah.
sued him.
Oh,
I think you'd know him if you saw him.
I know this guy. I know who he is.
He was also the guy who was in Las Vegas during the mass shooting.
Yes,
and
he's very hateable, isn't he?
Yes,
you want
incredibly.
A gun?
Well, yeah, he was trying to get the police to give him a gun to use to fire back because you know they're trained.
Right back, scream if Andy calls.
No, okay. You want to take a dump?
Yeah, there it is. There's the mid-show turd.
But I thought Ethan Suplee or Suplee, Tuna, whatever his name is, looked a little bit like him now. He's going to get fat again, isn't he?
It's just wild because in Remember the Titans, I think that was when he was the biggest. I mean, yeah. He was rotund. And then in American History X, he was really, really big.
Oh, my God. I forgot he was in that movie.
And that was a great role for him. And then I did like him in Blow, you know, Tuna. Yeah. Tuna was a lovable sidekick there for the first half of the movie or quarter of the movie.
He's been in a ton of stuff.
Yeah, he's always playing like the secondary role. He was the sidekick in My Name is Earl. And yeah, I like him. Now he's so ripped. He is just, it doesn't even look like him. He's got a big beard, too.
Don't you kind of hope it's for a movie role?
Like,
he's not doing this to better his life, but he's doing it to make it buck.
Well, I'm trying to think of what he's been in recently. I don't remember him really. He was in The Wolf of Wall Street, but that was 2013.
Speaking of guys that are ripped, should we call Lou Ferrigno today?
To have him eulogize Neil Peart?
Well, I don't know.
Andy Dick's calling.
Andy Dick's calling back, Drew.
Here we go. Andy.
Sorry about that.
It's okay.
No problem. Good buddy. Back.
I got a bunch of calls in a row. I'm glad. I thought it was you calling back in, FaceTiming me, but it was this girl who finally showed me her boobies.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, what's her story?
Ooh.
I don't know.
She sounds
hot. You know what? Can I combine these two calls?
Sure.
How do you do that?
I don't know.
Who are we going to be combined with?
I have no idea, but it's exciting.
I agree.
It's a thrill.
All from Brandon Logan. Inmate at San Bernardino County Sheriff's Department. Our records show you do not have an account or enough funds to complete this call.
To pay for this call using your credit or debit card,
please press 1. To decline this call will cost 20 cents per minute, plus any applicable federal, state, and local taxes, plus a one-time transaction fee of $3.
What?
You will only be charged a minute rate for the amount of time you are on the phone.
Wait, that's Tom Gorris making all that money.
If you don't want to connect this call, but would like to fund an account to pay for future calls, please hang up and dial 800-844-5591.
It's too much to think about.
Just connect the call.
Two separate boyfriends in jail right now. Two separate boyfriends.
And our records show you have a card on file ending in.
We turned it down, Andy.
The card on file to pay for this call. Please press 1. To use new credit, please enter your card expiration date by entering the 2-digit.
Oh my God.
You entered 1.
Okay.
Correct. Please press 1. If this is not correct, please enter the 5-digit billing zip code associated with a credit or debit card. You entered 9. 1, 4. Correct. Please press 1. Is it not correct?
I don't get
it. We're sorry. Your card was declined.
What?
Can you use your credit or debit card number to complete this call? Please press
start a GoFundMe.
To decline this call, press 2.
Andy?
Oh!
No! Oh my God.
I mean, he's getting mad at his phone there.
He's trying to.
He's calling back. He's calling back. I don't know.
I don't have him.
What a mess.
Is that him?
It's not ringing on the phone, but okay. It says it is on the telly.
Yeah,
wow. So we were going to be three-wayed into the San Bernardino prison to talk to one of his ex-boyfriends.
I know, I was doing
should
a
we
vicious...
call him? Would he be better able to, would it be easier if we called him? Maybe?
I think it's going
to
be
or is he not talking to that dude?
His card got declined.
Well, that's an administrative mistake,
that
obviously.
Tom Gorris is making all that money. That's ridiculous. $3 to connect, 20 cents a minute, plus any state and federal taxes.
Not to mention, it takes 10 minutes to get into the call.
Ugh. Which they probably count. It's like a porno line.
Yeah, like Homer on the betting line.
Yeah, that's right.
You know what? I'll mention, we just talked about Ethan Suplee losing 200 pounds. Did you see Elon Musk in Shanghai showing off the Tesla?
I saw him dancing. We talked about him dancing, yeah.
He's boogieing up a storm.
Andy's back.
Oh, okay. Andy? There he is.
It's me. Sorry, I was trying to hang up with the the prison, and I hung up on everybody.
It's all right. It was entertaining.
But isn't that weird? Did you hear what I was saying? I have two separate boyfriends. One's in San Bernardino County, and one's in L.A.
Ooh.
One might be going to Texas for a couple of years.
Ooh. At least they're separate.
What was the charge?
Yeah.
So they don't meet up and bond over you.
But mostly, one of them got picked up on drug charges. This is after I was dating them.
Yeah.
And but then, you know, they call me when they're in prison because they know that I still care about them. But that's nice.
Do they want you to put money on their commissary
on
account?
On their book. Yeah, money on their book.
Of course.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey,
but also, you know what? If you just want to talk to somebody, and I know how it is, so, you know, they just really just want to talk.
Did you have a jail stint, Andy, like 30 days or something?
Yeah, you just gamed the system, Andy. I like that. I liked how you did that.
I skipped my community service. And it was supposed to be 150 hours of community service. I'm like, really? That's like a full-time job. And what am I doing, picking up trash or folding clothes at thrift store? I don't know if I can do that. So 3 months went by. I didn't do it. So I went back to court and said, I'll do it this time. Let me extend it. I'll do it. And I still just could not fucking wrap my head around.
I just couldn't get into it.
It was such a shithole. Because, you know, I'd be in a blue apron or whatever, and people would take pictures. I just didn't want to do it.
It pretty much come down to that.
And I'd be bored. I'd be bored.
You'd rather do a few days in jail than 150 hours of that?
Well, yeah. So my lawyer's like, well, you know, because the last time that I extended it, the judge said, he said, if you don't do it this time, I'm going to put you in jail. So I knew what was coming up. And by the way, when you're in court, the only thing you can ever say is, yes, Your Honor, no, Your Honor, I understand, Your Honor, thank you, Your Honor. That's it.
So you couldn't say, I just couldn't get into it, Judge. I couldn't wrap my brain around it. Give me another chance.
Probably a good thing.
They don't give a shit. They really don't give a shit. They'll make me more mad if you get like that. So you just have to say, yes, Your Honor. And then I went there. I went to my court day, and I'm like, look, I didn't do it. So the judge is like, take him away.
Andy, when you mentioned Scientology, it reminded me of something. We were talking about Ethan Suplee, the actor. Suplee?
Yeah.
Which one? What?
He's on my Ethan Suplee. He was in My Name is Earl. Was he in Road Trip?
He was in Blow, the movie Blow. He was Tuna.
He's the big fat guy in Blow.
Okay.
He lost 200 pounds.
Wow, that's good for him.
Did he work? Did you work with him? And was he in Road Trip?
He was in Road Trip, but I think he just, you know, played a minor character. So
did I. Had a minor character. I just did a scene with Paolo, one of the leads. My scene was just with him.
Okay.
Thought, right?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. That was a great movie, yeah. And you were great. No, you've had some of those smaller roles which are absolutely memorable, like
Old School,
yeah. It was great.
Well,
I mean, that's the funniest thing in the movie.
Zoolander.
Zoolander. You know about Ben flying me and my whole family out to Rome for the last Zoolander that was a flop.
Yeah, that was. I couldn't believe how bad that Zoolander was. There were so many cameos in that.
I know. I went to the premiere, like the opening, and I walked out halfway just to wander through the lobby. I would rather wander through the lobby doing nothing than I couldn't take it anymore.
Did they actually think it was going to be? Did they really believe in that? Was that a surprise? Really?
They put so much. They put so much money in it that he put me in it again. So I'm in it, but I got cut out ultimately. Thank God. And you can still kind of see me. I'll describe the scene later. I didn't even get to my scene when I went to go to the premiere. But anyways,
oh boy.
He flew me out to Rome, and I'm on the set for one day. And not even the whole day to do my little tiny cameo. But then I was in the penthouse in Rome in this beautiful piazza, they call them, with a fountain in the middle. And I was there for a month. He put me up in the penthouse for a month.
Wow.
Was flying my ex-wife out there, my son, my daughter. We're just running around Rome all for a month. It was probably the best family vacation we've ever had.
Well,
thanks, Paramount,
And thanks, Ben. But that's because he thought he was going to be making bank.
Ooh. Well, he's done so well. But you guys go way back to the Ben Stiller show. You were a huge part of that show.
That was my first show. I was just talking about somebody. Because, you know, I date these girls. This girl that I'm dating doesn't even know who I am.
That's good.
You're in so many movies.
More.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
More, I'm like, I'll show you. I'll show you who I am. Just take those pants off. You can't say that. You cannot say that in today's climate. I was kidding. Come on, you know, I'm joking.
Say it privately.
Well, this ain't private.
Going back to the Ben Stiller show, though, and who else worked on that show? Who was it?
Ruffalo. It was me, Ben, Bob Odenkirk, you know, Better Call Saul.
Yep.
And Janine Garofalo. That was it. Four cast members doing every fucking scene. I didn't even know what I was signing up for, and I almost couldn't do it. Because I was doing, like, impersonations, and I don't do that. So they're like, you're going to be playing Woody Allen in this one. I'm like, how do you do Woody Allen in that? What? Then luckily, the movie that we were parodying was out. I think it was, Husbands and Wives?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I think it was that. And so I went, and I brought a cassette recorder, and I recorded his voice, and I was in the movie trying to do him. And I kind of can do it now, like, my back is... I'm dating my daughter. You know, and she's wonderful, wonderful girl. You know, she's Asian, so we eat a lot of Thai food. See, it's not really right.
He almost sounds like a broadcaster that pushes his voice all over the place.
I know. I'm not a good impersonator.
No, that wasn't bad. That wasn't bad at all.
The one that was really hard was when I played Jacques Cousteau. And what does a French accent even sound like? So I had to listen to him, and then I got that one pretty good. You got to watch that one.
That was a great show. I love that show.
No, but watch the Jacques. Put Andy Dick, Ben Stiller show, Jacques Cousteau.
Can you bring it up, Brandon? We can take a look at it. We're pretty quick.
I mean, I could do it right now. I mean, it just sounds like a French Woody Allen.
Andy, that show...
I'm really bad at that shit, but I'm not kidding. I was, like, panicking. We were doing 16-hour days. You know, we shot for, like, 1 or 2 months, and then it was over, and then it won an Emmy.
And you like Brandon? Really... No.
Not yet.
That show really led to... Because you mentioned Bob, and I think... Didn't David Cross write on Ben Stiller?
Wait a minute. Yes, he did. And he was on it.
In Dino, too, and that really led to Mr. Show.
Yeah, I got Dino on there. I got Dino on it. I said to Ben, can you please let my comedy partner come and write on it? He's like, no, we're all filled up. But then at the last second, two people dropped out to go work on The Simpsons. And he's like, okay, why don't you show me what he's got? So Dino and I stayed up all night and wrote a Ben Stiller show script, the whole script in one night.
Wow.
And gave it to him. And he's like, all right, fine, he's hired. And he has an Emmy now.
You know, hell of a combination. I mean, it's like I was watching a Dana Carvey documentary. I couldn't believe how many great people there were in that. You guys had a great young, up-and-coming group of people, too.
Yeah. Well, it's always like that. You know, when people want to start a movie or do a show, they always want to get the best people. And Ben, I did not know him. He was coming to see, you know, live comedy on these weird open mic nights. Like, I remember him being at the Big and Tall bookstore. Do you remember that on Beverly? It used to be a Big and Tall food store.
Uh-huh.
Then they kept the sign and just wrote bookstore. Big and Tall bookstore. And they sold books and coffee. And upstairs is a very tiny area that Bob went up and did stuff. I went up and did stuff. And I just made a good point because I just remember that I wasn't the best writer. It's not that I'm not the best writer because I'm a great writer when I'm on stage. My brain starts snapping off. I'm just lazy. I don't want to sit down and type it out.
Yeah.
You know. So I would have Dino. I remember in the Big and Tall bookstore. This is weird. I just remember this. I had Dino write me a bit, and I did it, and then I improvised off of that, and I did that there, and there's only like five people in the audience. Bob did something, and I would do stuff with him.
Huh.
So we would do these weird, we would combine our stuff like Andy Kaufman-esque, and then Janine did some, and Ben was in the audience.
No kidding.
Now, did he have to sell it to, because Apatow did that show with him, right? Did he have to?
Yeah, but Apatow was nobody.
Yeah, that was his first big thing.
Well, no, he was a writer for, you know, he wrote for Roseanne, you know that, right?
Oh, I did not know that. That's interesting.
So he wasn't a nobody, so we really looked up to him. But you're right, Apatow, that was like everybody in there blew up. Well, because it won an Emmy,
it was a good show. It was a very good show. It was funny. It was edgy. It was different. You know, so many shows are like another show. And I felt the same way about Dana Carvey, except that show was one season and out.
Yeah. But the actor will quit. He might have been like, that was it. I'm done.
Well, they had problems with the network. It was an ABC show. But, you know, I want to say something. You've worked with so many people. You're almost like, you could have the Andy Dick game like the Kevin Bacon game. I mean, it's unbelievable. We could connect you to almost anyone, it seems like, through all so
You're
many
right.
movies.
It's true.
In fact, have you worked with Kevin Bacon? Can we connect? How do we connect Andy to Kevin Bacon?
Then the game's over. That's when no one can play the game anymore. Game over. Now I eat a lot of bacon, but no, I don't think I've ever. I have met him, but no, we never worked together.
Let's see. I'm going to do it. There's got to be.
I already did. Your bacon. Your Kevin Bacon number is 2 because you were in high hopes with Michael DiLorenzo, who was in A Few Good Men with Kevin Bacon.
There you go.
Oh,
you're in.
So wait a minute. Is 2 a good number? Like the higher, the better.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, good.
How about Danny Masterson?
Andy Dick, by the way, you were also you're in the Army Now with Glenn Morshower, who was in The River Wild with Kevin Bacon. So another 2.
Okay.
When do you get this started?
I don't know. You were in The Comebacks with Martin Lawrence, who was in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles with Kevin Bacon.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
See, you're closer to him than you realize.
Andy, do you know, since you've hung around the Scientology world for the great salads for so long, do you know Danny Masterson?
Yeah, I do.
You do? Is he a good guy?
Oh, boy.
Yeah, he is. Like, I think he got in trouble recently.
Yeah, yeah.
Really bad?
Yeah.
You
tell
me about it?
Well, he's been accused of rape by, is it 4 different women?
Yeah.
And... the thing is, when you're in Scientology, you can get away with so much because Scientology has so much money. And once you're one of the celebrities in Scientology, they will go to the wall for you. So this thing has gotten delayed. And I don't know if he's ever going to be charged, to be honest. And I don't know if he did it. It doesn't sound good.
I know him, and I would never think that he was like that in a million years.
Well, he may have been falsely accused. I don't know. But he's a Scientologist, isn't he?
Why do you know so
he's
many
a heavy
Scientologist.
Yeah. It's for the salads.
I didn't know that part about him, to be honest.
Well, what about Tom Cruise? Did you ever eat a salad with Tom Cruise?
He tossed my salad. No. You know I've never been fucked. You know that.
Yes.
I did not know. I did not.
You're like Liberace, because Liberace never was either. He wouldn't let Scott Thorson in.
Are you serious?
Well, according to the movie, because Michael Douglas and Matt Damon played Scott Thorson and Liberace, and who was it that wanted to...
Libby. Libby was banging Scott Thorson, and Scott said, why don't we switch it up? And he's like, I don't do that, honey. Yeah.
Oh, Matt. So Matt Damon had to take it every time.
Yeah, from Michael Douglas.
Right. Have you ever seen that?
Sorry. I loved it.
It was great. Here we go.
No, I don't want that. I'm just going to use that.
How do we connect Andy to Tom Cruise, by the way? How quickly can we get to Tom Cruise?
Oh, that's what we were talking about.
Yeah.
Tom Cruise.
Was he at the
he was in A Few Good Men with Kevin Bacon, wasn't he?
Yeah. So there we go. It's the same as Kevin
Bacon. Okay. See,
wait,
I'm telling you.
No. Yeah, but wait, I want to tell you something about that.
Did you meet Cruise at the Celebrity Center or at this salmon salad deal?
No, I met him with Ben.
Oh, really?
For
wait, because you guys did a parody for the MTV I remember that. It's fucking hilarious.
So there he's connected directly to Cruz, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was the
like
bit?
One of his movies. I can't remember. I think I played a police officer.
What? Wasn't Ben his stunt double?
And then
Mark, how do you know the bit better than Andy?
I don't know. It's coming back to me. Slowly.
Isn't it weird how much stuff I've done?
You have done. I'm telling you, there's legs to the Andy Dick game.
Yeah, you're right. We're going to get that one. We're going to launch that.
Did you hang with Cruz at all?
No, just a little bit with Ben.
Was he nice?
Yeah, he's nice.
Okay.
But he's probably gay, too. Now, that one I don't know, but I see the character.
Oh,
wow. Why? Why are they so ashamed about it? That's what I don't like.
Because they're afraid no one will come see their blockbuster movie.
It's a problem with Scientology, of course. And,
yeah.
I mean, that's interesting, though. I would never think you would go to a Scientology event because, Andy, if you ever joined Scientology, you'd be auditing for the rest of your life.
I went and did that. I audited. That's what I did. I went and took one course once years ago, 20 years ago. And I'm like, this course thing where I'm reading a book, like I don't want to do it. Can I do that auditing thing? So I used to, and they said sure. So they it was like $39 for the whole thing. So I switched over to do auditing, and I'm like, okay, good, I get it, I'm out. And I never went back. And then literally, I only go back to get the fucking salmon Caesar salad.
But usually people spill a lot of stuff in the auditing, and then they have them because it's like, I'm out. And they go, yeah, well, too bad everybody's going to know about this.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I don't care, obviously.
Yeah. No,
everybody already does know everything.
That's pretty true.
I have nothing to lose. I have nothing. That's the only good thing about me in this climate. Right now, is that I don't give a shit, and I have nothing to lose.
Yeah, I guess at this point, I would agree with that.
I have nothing to lose.
No,
I'm
don't.
Already at the bottom.
Except that there's so many projects.
Bottom could still drop out.
There's a lot of things, though, you'd be so great in that I'd like to see you
but
in.
But I'm doing them. My son made that movie called Hard Plastic.
Andy, by the way, when is my movie role coming up? Because I'm so excited to play an announcer at a football game or softball game?
Softball, women.
I'm totally in.
I forgot about that. The guys that
don't forget about that.
Get Dino to write your ideas down.
No. It's these four guys went away for the holidays that are helping me write it, and they actually wrote the whole script. The script is done. So yeah. We already wrote the script.
Okay.
The last time I talked to you, I really got on that. We wrote it.
Cool.
I need to fix it.
How major a role would you say I have, Andy?
Very minor.
But should I
say Jerry minor?
Jerry minor.
No, that would be a bigger role. Jerry, let's just say Jerry Minor has a bigger role. But no. You know, seriously, I don't even remember the, but it doesn't fucking matter. I'm going to direct it. So, like, I change things every fucking day. The best directors, like Kubrick, what's his name?
Tannenbaum,
who? Carousel. I don't know about that. But, like, the cooler ones, like Todd Phillips, the ones I work, Todd Phillips, you know.
Yeah. Old school.
Uh-huh. Sure. And Joker.
I mean, he did. Oh. But we had a falling out.
Uh-oh.
Bad.
What? Why? Can you tell us what happened?
I'm gonna. Because I have nothing to lose.
We've established that. But
I had the most beautiful girlfriend at the time when I was doing, you know, Road Trip and
Old School.
And Old School. Yeah. I did two movies with her. And then I would bring my girlfriend around. And I remember he and I would hang out a lot. And he told me that he had a foot fetish.
you know.
Yeah, like in the movie.
Sucking on toes. Yeah. Like sucking on toes. Yeah, he really has that. I'm like, oh, okay, good for you.
Why do you need
to know? I don't care.
Yeah.
But anyways, me and my girl, I brought my girl around him, and he just swooped in. And my thing with my girl, when I was dating her for 4 years, her name is Lisa. You can look her up. I don't give a shit.
Did she have her shoes off?
And I have nothing to lose. Don't give a shit. I have nothing to lose. Look it up. Lisa Donat.
Yeah, very hot. Looking at her right now.
How do you spell her last name?
D-O-N-A-T-Z.
Okay.
T-Z.
We're all looking
up. And she's the hottest of them all. And I brought her around. And then he must have just got right on her fucking toes. Because he swooped in and got her. But, oh, here's the thing with her. When I was dating her, I'm like, look, let me tell you something. Everyone's going to want to take pictures of you nude. If you're dating me, that ain't going to happen, okay? So I don't want you to show your boobs or anything. Those are mine, okay?
Yeah.
So don't like, come on.
Hey, we have Andy,
But listen, then we broke up. She went to Todd Phillips and is in the fucking movie topless.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's one of the two girls that wrestled blue.
Yes.
Yeah.
She was giving command. Can you unlock it?
Do you mind if we look at her boobs now? I mean, you're not with her.
Unlock it, buddy.
Look at that.
Come on.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
She's very nice.
Don't lock it anymore.
Blue, you're my boy!
Well, no random people. Anyways, look at her boobs. See how nice they were? I love
very
them.
Nice.
We just did. I asked permission, by the way, first.
I don't give a shit. I'm not dating her.
I know.
He's got nothing to lose, Drew.
Andy, I just want to point out that when you said those boobs are mine, it quickly reminded me of O.J. Simpson pointing at Nicole Brown Simpson's pussy and saying, "This is where babies come from, and this is mine."
They call me Jew.
He's sick.
Yeah. All right.
My friend just walked in.
All right.
Okay, Andy.
Rico. No, I want to tell you because people can find him online. He makes grills for famous rappers. And literally, because I'm so in love with his rings and his watches, they're bedazzled with diamonds. You know, it's like white gold. I'm going to get a grill, though. I'm not kidding.
Really?
Upper grill. All white gold and diamonds. Oh, yeah. He's my best friend right now. His name is Rico. What's your last name? Ashford. But his company name is Black Market, but it's spelled BLK and then Market, MARKET. Black Market. BLK. He has his studio. I think I am. His studio is right around the corner from my studio. So that's how we met. Well, they know about the Art Gallery. We talk about it all the time. Well, there's a whole new selection in the Art Gallery. Okay. Artist is right here.
Hey, Andy, I don't want to let this go. Can you tell us what happened with Lisa Donat? Why did you guys break up? Because it sounds like you really liked her.
Really liked her. And, oh, did you forget the part where that I'm fucking crazy? I fucked it up. You know, I introduced her to Jeff Goldblum. I'm like, you know, you should take classes with him. Oh. Jeff's a friend. He's so good. And I hear he's good classes. Oh, cut to them fucking.
Oh.
And I'm like, you know what, girl? But I had broken up with her for a short period. Then she fucked. I'm like, fuck, I want her back now. So I got her back. And then I'm like, fuck, why did I get her back? I don't want her back. She's hot as fuck, but there was something off between us.
What was that? Was that post Goldblum dick?
No, yeah. I broke up, then she went with Goldblum.
Okay.
Then I got her back.
Yeah.
And then I fucked it up again. And then I tried to get her back for a third time. And guys should listen to this, for real. Three ain't a charm when it comes to trying to get her back. By then, they're like, sure, I'm not going down this road again. They're done. They are done. They turn around. I could never get her back. Now she's married to Madonna's guitar player with four kids.
Oh, boy.
No.
Well, you know, that probably wasn't your future.
So is that the whole reason with the falling out with Todd Phillips? Because he put her in old school?
Yeah.
Would you forgive him now?
It's got to be something else.
But it's not a falling out on my side. I think he was ashamed and sad, you know, that he did that.
We didn't need to punish you for it.
You know what I mean? Because I don't care. That's the thing.
You got nothing to lose.
I'm going to be dating other people and fucking other people. You do whatever the fuck you want, you know? And then if they do something, I'm like, why the fuck would you do that?
Well, you should just tweet out, at Todd Phillips, hey, Todd, I'm not upset about Lisa's tits anymore in old school, so
hashtag nothing to lose.
No. I don't start Twitter wars and that kind of shit. I don't do that. In fact, I'm already weirded out that I'm telling you all this shit on national radio.
Yeah, no one's listening.
It's no problem, Andy. Nobody cares.
No, people are listening. I get called. Where? What city do you guys come out of? Detroit?
See, no one listens. Yes, Detroit.
Let me tell you something. I get a lot of cameos because of this show.
Oh, sweet.
Well, you're good.
Cameo. Well,
they tell me. In the cameo, they tell me that they're friends of yours. That they listen to you. They're fans of yours.
Yeah, we have. I got to tell you, our show is surprisingly good commerce. It's been really good.
Yeah,
that's what I was telling. They're that's great. What I'm saying. I'm
well,
agreeing.
One of these
it's
days,
helping me out.
Bring that van and drive all the way out here.
How do you know about the van?
Because we know things.
Oh, from the cameo?
Yeah.
Yes.
I did talk about it. Yeah, the van. I'm getting it tomorrow if everything goes well, and I will drive out there.
Sweet.
Wait, hang on one second. Let me throw one more shout out. What?
God. No shout outs.
R-C, so A-R-C-E-E,
Fact.
Artie Fact, Artie Fact. By right. Johnny's name. Is that my exit music?
No.
It's a shout-out song.
It's a shout-out warning.
Oh, good. Okay. That's funny. So, anything else going on with you guys? So I have that movie. I've got video game where I play the evil lead. You know about that, right? And they just did they filmed me, and it's my voice and my likeness, but I'm the evil guy.
Well, weren't you in Double Dragon in the 90s?
Yeah.
That was a video game movie. Let's see.
It turned into one, didn't it?
But now this is a voice role for a video game.
Yeah, but there's a bit you can see it. You know, like I'm a computer, I'm a person that looks like me.
Oh.
But I'm the evil, I'm the guy you have to kill to win the game, I guess. I don't really know.
You're the guy with nothing to lose.
I don't care, and I have nothing to lose.
Andy, we're going to let you go. We're actually in overtime now, but we're always delighted to get you and talk for any length.
Me too. I love talking to you guys. Did I get your Instagram or whatever? Rico. Yeah, Black Market. Black Market.
And I did text you the butthole picture that you texted me, and so you should be getting that. And if you want to send back some of the boob pictures, that'll be an even swap.
Yeah, please.
Okay, I will. But on this phone or what?
Yeah, on the phone you get the pictures on. That's Brandon's phone.
Texted, yeah, it's not this phone that you're talking to.
Remember what I told you? I lost my iPod and everything. Right. I have to put this. So this. You guys are Drew and Mike, right?
Yes, yeah. Drew. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so I'm putting this phone in now, so I'll know when you're calling.
And
you
I just
probably called
you.
Before. I did.
We did.
Yeah, okay.
We did. Your voicemail was full, I think.
It still is. I it's too much. I had 3,000 contacts, all gone. They're still calling me because I've had the same number for 20 years. Okay, you guys want to let me go? I'll see you soon.
Thanks, Andy.
Take care.
Love you, bro.
Glad you're doing well.
All right.
Happy New Year.
Likewise.
Thanks, Andy.
Andy Dick.
Andy.
Andy.
Andy, Andy.
Andy, Andy.
Andy, Andy.
Andy,
Andy. A-N-D-Y.
Andy, Andy, Andy.
A-N-D-Y.
We've got to get Matt to make some songs for us.
Yeah.
We should get an Andy Dick song.
We have one.
Some other regular
Andy.
People.
Andy.
Well, it'd be perfect. A-N-D-Y-D-I-C-K.
Love following that bouncing ball.
Oh, man.
It's great.
I know. He's incredible. Great. He sounds pretty good.
Ups and downs and ups and downs. Oof.
Man, I want more Scientology information. So
yeah.
Salmon salads. salmon salads to get people in Scientology.
It goes to show they'll do whatever you want to get a few minutes with you, trying to separate you from your money.
Celebrity Center.
I wonder if Andy wishes he would have asked for more.
Should have.
Salmon salad.
And he audited. What do they have in his file?
Well, he's got nothing to lose. He doesn't care.
I know. You know, wrapping the celebrity list was the Gwyneth Paltrow story.
Oh, God.
She has vagina-scented candles.
Ugh. It's supposed to be scented after her vagina.
Yeah, that's what she said. Which, this smells like my vagina. And it's like, oh, my God, we've got it.
Why do I need that when I can just open a tuna can?
Let's go sniff out some beef.
I don't mean to be rude, but I'm not sure
what's going on.
That's something, but they're sold out.
What's the matter, honey? There's some extra cheese on the taco.
Is that real? Did this really happen?
That's creeps going, I wonder what her vagina smells like.
Well, that certainly doesn't make your vagina sound very appealing.
That's what everyone bought it for.
Yeah. I want to smell Gwyneth Paltrow.
And she doesn't care. She's all about the money.
She's
whatever
all about
checks.
Her vagina. She talks about her vagina nonstop.
I know. I don't know. I really want somebody to talk about their vagina. I mean, not that much.
Yeah.
That goop. I mean, I don't want to be weird thing. About it, but just not.
I don't want to hear someone talk about their dick nonstop either, though.
No, I don't either.
I don't want anybody to make a candle that smells like their dog.
No. No, you'd never get away with it. No. It would not sell out.
Oh, well, no one wants.
Maybe gay guys. I don't know.
No one wants to smell that.
I don't know. I mean, I'm surprised, honestly, it sold out. But then again, when you think about the creep factor, of course it's sold out.
Actually, I think about it, it's pretty brilliant on her part. Look at all those new emails she has for her Goop newsletter.
Smelly, but I love
She's
it.
She's bringing all these guys into the world of Goop because they want to smell her vagina.
I wanted to mention a couple things before we wrapped up today. One is that it's kind of a strange story. Oprah Winfrey has dropped out of the Russell Simmons documentary, which is really a Me Too, as in the effect on, it's really about this female named Drew Dixon, who's a woman of color, and she apparently suffered some sort of abuse of a sexual nature from some of the men she admired the most, including Russell Simmons. Now, when this came out, this is shortly after when the story was really getting bandied about, it wasn't long after Leaving Neverland, and Oprah did the interview after it aired, and a lot of people were so pissed
with the two
at
victims.
Oprah.
Yeah, Safe
yeah,
Chuck.
Because how dare she go after Michael Jackson? You know, Oprah just trying to bring black men down, and what a cheap shot. And, you know, the Michael Jackson crowd is pretty intense. And so then it comes out, oh, and now she's going after Russell Simmons, another powerful black man. And
It's Me Too in music. I mean, those are the Me Toos in music.
Gayle
went after R. Kelly.
Yeah, I have a real hard time believing that Oprah Winfrey is trying to bring down black men. But she has said that, well, really it's creative differences. It's got nothing to do with that. And I'm not sure. I kind of doubt that. But it's really, I don't know, race just finds its way into the strangest places sometimes. I'm watching this new MTV show, and the only reason I watched it was because I was watching a rerun of Neve's show.
Oh, Catfish.
Catfish. Yeah. Which is a funny show. No, it's a great show. And I'm not saying, you know, I watch it all the time or you have to watch it, but it's a fun show.
Once Max left, it's been downhill.
It's not good.
Anybody want any more Catfish?
Fortunately, people still operate the Max cam. All the guests carry the Max cam around.
What, did he trademark it?
I don't know. It's like we really needed that shot.
You do. It shows the action. It's the action in the show. They're on their way to do stuff.
I tell you, the show, the reason Catfish is so much fun to me is, well, first of all, it's very sad that people do this. And that's why I thought my idea about making it against the law to impersonate someone on the phone, I think that's got legs. I'm sure it doesn't, but it feels like it does. Anyway, when you see the person, they say, you know, Neve, I've been texting and we've been sending pictures back and forth for 6 years. And every time I ask him to chat on, you know, live chat on Facebook or FaceTime, the camera's always broken,
it's crazy.
Or their phone doesn't work anymore, and it's like, oh please, come on, really? But you know, you get new people. People turn 15 every day. People turn 16 every day. People turn 17 every day. So you got a whole new crop of young people that are naive.
I think they'd be more cynical, though, the newer generation.
I really would, too. But there's no shortage. And they also, I've noticed that they've really gone to a lot of small towns.
Yeah.
Where people probably aren't as aware of all the all the foolishness that goes on.
I always like it when it's like, he lives 10 minutes away and he just can't find the time to.
I know.
And I would always sit there and go, well, if you're that concerned about it, why don't you try to find them and stalk them?
You know what else is funny that happens is, you know, I've been texting and we've been talking on the phone and we've been doing everything except FaceTime for the last 3 years. Broken. And, you know, it's such a bummer because I'm only 17, you know, I'm only 18 and I live in Florida and he's 21 and he lives in the state of Washington. So we're so far apart. And then they find out the guy lives 5 minutes away.
By the way, yeah.
Uh-huh. But the part of the show that is mind blowing is, first, when they show you the picture of the person that they've been, quote unquote, talking to for 2 years, and you go, wait, that guy's a pretty good looking guy. Mm-hmm. Why would he be talking to this girl who's, you know, not really in his league or vice versa? And frequently it is. It's like, you know, a guy who's maybe 30 pounds overweight and pretty average looking, and he's talking to this girl who is just, you know, model hot.
He likes me for me.
Yeah, and he understands me, and he's helped me through so many things.
Yeah, we have so much in common.
And then when you see, when they dig through it, and they find out that, oh, this guy, she's an Instagram star. She's got 3 million followers, and that's not the girl you're talking to. Oh, here she is. It's like, wah, wah.
You take a look at her, she's a slob.
And they always act like, oh, my God, the dishonesty. I just can't get past it. Like the looks have nothing to do with the issue. Yeah.
And I think some of the blame does fall on the person being catfished.
Oh, no question
about
it.
And they never get the blame on the show, though.
Sometimes, not usually. But
there's a slob. There's a real slob.
What's amazing, though, is how unfeeling the people are once they're busted. It's like, wait, you've been talking to this person. You've been getting nude photos from this person. You've been doing all this stuff. You know, you're a rotten asshole. Oh, and you've got 30 other people. You're doing the same thing.
I was going to say, in their head, they're going, you see the other photos of the other people.
And sometimes it's gay guys getting pictures from guys while posing as a woman. They never beat down the gay people for doing this. And I don't know. It's like, wait a second. That's even worse.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's MTV these days because I'm watching their True Life crime show, which is Neve's. He introduces it. It's sort of like the...
Wait, True Life crime show?
It's a True Life crime show.
What's it called?
True Life Crime, I think.
Really?
Yeah. And I like True Life. I thought it was a great show.
Awesome show.
So, and the show was pretty good, but I can already tell where the show is going. And I, you know...
Yeah.
Here's the story. This is the first one. I believe this is the debut story. Is the girl in Chicago. She died in the Crown Plaza Hotel. She was drunk and kind of staggering around.
Oh, and
she wandered into the freezer.
Into the freezer, right.
Oh,
and
yeah.
They closed the freezer door closed, and she froze to death.
Yeah.
And she's a black girl. She's about 17, I think. It was a birthday party. And they were going somewhere at 3 in the morning. I believe they might have been going home. And everybody's going to the lobby, and all of a sudden it's like, wait, we can't find whatever her name is, Christy, let's just say.
Kanika?
Yeah.
Kanika. Okay, we can't find Kanika. And so they look all over for her. They can't find her anywhere. It's like, wait, she was just here. And she was bombed. Mm-hmm. She was really drunk.
There's video of her staggering through the hallways. Yeah, yeah, she was
she's bouncing,
incredibly intoxicated.
She's bouncing off walls. She can't walk a straight. She can't even come close to walking a straight line. She's way too drunk. So...
Oh, sounds like the end of that episode next.
Yeah, well, that's what I thought. So they call her mother, and mother's, you know, comes to the hotel. They're looking all over. And not only that, this part amused me, although it shouldn't have. The Crown Plaza ends up calling the police because...
A stranger's in their freezer?
No. They haven't found her yet.
Oh.
Her mother and some of the other people are banging on every room in the hotel, demanding they open the door to see if... the girl's in there. So it's just turned into this crazy thing. And the cops say, well, you know, she's
still
only been...
sleeping. Is that what everyone said?
I think the people were just like, get the fuck out of here. She's not in here. Leave me alone. You woke me up. You know, people are angry. Then they call the They call the police, and the police say, well, she's been missing for 4 hours. Yeah, I mean, relax. She's 17.
She was out partying.
People do disappear, or they, you know, maybe she's in someone else's room, or maybe she fell asleep somewhere. So they said, you know, call us back if you haven't located her in a couple hours. So they, at 1 o'clock, they officially make her a missing person. The police come and virtually storm the hotel, and they look everywhere. And there's security cameras. I mean, every hallway's got a security camera.
Did they know that she hadn't left the hotel?
No. No, they didn't. Okay. They didn't know That's anything. So finally, one of the hotel workers, who's on security camera, he's walking back towards this freezer, and he opens it, and he comes out and says, oh, my God, she's in here. She's frozen to death. Yeah. And the police go back there, and it's, you know, horrible scene, of course. And so I'm thinking, why is this a story? Well, they start showing all this background of racism in Chicago, like the 68 riots, and they talk about the Laquan
McDonald
story, yeah. Who was shot by police, and the cop lied. Pretty it was awful. One of the worst stories.
One time an officer got sentenced. It was Laquan
McDonald. Yeah, it's you know, one of law enforcement's lowest
moments. Oh, yeah.
And it's horrible. And the history of racism with the police. And I'm like, wait, why is there racism in this story? I don't even understand. I don't even know what the hell you're talking about.
I don't get the connection.
But
I know her family was really mad at the response. But like you said, it had been 4 hours.
As much true crime as I watch, I can tell you that the police, when someone's missing for 4 or 5 hours, they really, do not start going on a wild goose chase.
Imagine how many times.
99% of the time, the person is just left, or they wanted to leave, or they don't want to be found. But then in those 1%, it always looks so obvious. Like, oh, my God, they should. Well, it's a really, and I can relate it to something else. When I had my back surgery, and they wanted me to have all this, what do you call it, when you do exercises to make it better. Physical therapy. Yeah, physical therapy. And so I did it, and it made it worse, and they wanted me to do some more. And I'm like, wait a second, why don't we just get the MRI, you know? And it's, because 95% of the cases, the person's back will get better.
Yeah.
Very rarely does anyone need back surgery. Well, of course, you find out that I did need back surgery, so I was kind of pissed.
One of the 5%.
Right, or even if it's that high. So anyway, they start down this path of a couple of her friends say, I think she was sexually assaulted, and they just threw in there, locked her in there. And, you know, and some of them are like, oh, yeah, I'm sure of it. I'm positive because she was really drunk. And then they start suggesting that the footage of the employee finding her and the footage of her staggering in there, which is she is staggering. I mean, she's a mess, that this footage is doctored. They've doctored the footage to make themselves look good and to blame it on her. And it's because they don't care about young black girls.
Who doctored it?
Crown
Plaza?
Mark, it's so ridiculous. They got
the police?
An expert.
Really?
The guy doing the story is from Chicago.
Don't be self-aware.
And I give him credit. He got an expert on there who said, no, this is not doctored. It couldn't be doctored. He explained why. And as far as the sexual assault, they said there's no evidence of sexual assault. She appears to have gone in there, fallen on the floor, passed out. Her blood alcohol level wasn't – they didn't even say what it was. They just said it was very high.
It's a bad – I mean, that's an accident.
She had taken some – drug for migraine headaches that she didn't even have migraine headaches. It was like someone spiked her drink. And I mean, on and on and on. I'm like, wait, didn't the police get into all this stuff? And he's like, no, we have to reinvestigate and find out the truth because there are all these. And in the end, he says, she staggered in there and died.
Yeah.
She staggered in there, passed out, and died. I mean, it's a horrible story, but I just didn't like the way MTV. What are you trying to generate racism? Or are you just trying to. It seemed like, why don't you do a story on racism? That story didn't make any. I thought it was silly. That first of all, they made the people look bad who were accusing. I thought they ended up looking stupid when it was just their friend and they loved her and they wanted to think that, you know, she wasn't responsible for it. They felt bad.
Of course,
the
family's going to feel like there was a lack of urgency because she's dead now. It was an accident.
It was just, I don't know, I just thought that I didn't like the show. I have a feeling I'm just not going to like the show, but that's that.
Yeah. You know who the family's attorney is?
Chicago.
Jeffrey Figer.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, filed a $50 million lawsuit against the hotel, which they'll probably win. I mean,
they'll probably settle.
How can a guest of the hotel?
Well, I don't know why.
It does seem weird that a guest of a hotel can just walk into a walk-in freezer.
Yeah, that's true. I would agree with that.
But yeah.
Here's the thing, though. They kept suggesting that she was, you know, she was locked in there. She's gonna, there's a little button you push always. To get out.
Yeah. So, anybody that's worked in a place that has a walk-in freezer, it's one of the first things they tell you about.
Story sucked.
You know, she didn't.
Well, speaking of stuff that was caught on tape, the two teenagers that got busted with the I-75 billboard, they caught them.
Yeah. Thanks to a bunch of narcs. There's your tattletale culture.
They went in and doctored the billboard. It was live porn. I mean, it was like active porn. It wasn't just a picture, was it? Wasn't
no, it
was a video?
Video. It was multiple videos because it's like the only billboard that has a laptop connected to it, which they turned out it wasn't supposed to be that way. I guess it was supposed to be remotely done, but it was broken. So they're like, let's just hook up a piece of shit laptop. And somehow these kids figured it out because it's the only billboard that's got like a shed at the bottom of it. So they knew.
And they're wearing hazmat suits when they went in there so they wouldn't be identified.
Yet, some narc.
Did they say how they got them?
People narked on them.
I'm
they
sure
saw
that
the
they bragged.
It took this long?
It said they had tips. They people turned them in. And one's 16 from South Lyon and the other's 18 from like Sterling Heights. And I'm like, that's pretty far away. How do they know each other?
Yeah, probably cousins.
That's what I was thinking, Brandon.
I wondered the same thing. That was the most interesting thing about it. Was
the 16-year-old from South Lyon or this 18-year-old from Sterling Heights? They got to be related.
Brandon, can you bring up the Facebook Live car chase on I-75?
Yeah, I got it right
here. Ago, I got to run upstairs for a second.
Another dump?
Sure.
Not taking a dump.
If this man is a AD.
No kidding. Jeez. No, but you see, I always kind of had a feeling that specific billboard was hackable, and the reason being is and there's going to be a lot of people that have seen this. You drive by it, and so many times instead of actually showing an ad, it's just right there on the computer's desktop.
Blue windows or the C prompt.
Exactly. Well, you'll see like the, you know, the trash bin, you know.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Windows.
So it's like a Windows desktop.
You'll see Microsoft Word on there, and it's like somebody just didn't click on it. So I knew this one was hackable. Funny. I hope they let
it
these
could have
kids,
been you.
You know, just let them off.
Well, the
let
16-year-old's in a juvenile, what do they call it, diversion program. Yeah, so he'll be fine. The 18-year-old, you know, he's an adult.
So with this high-speed chase, who is the one filming this high-speed chase? And this is through Macomb County.
Okay, they do a great job. They go from the Facebook Live, which is inside the car that has the police lights behind it, and they're like, fuck the police. And,
oh,
you know,
great.
And we're going to kick their ass and stuff like that. And they're all badass. And
they start
and then
crying.
They don't cry. Then they go to the cop cam. You know, this is the thing. These guys are 18, I think, or 19, 17.
19,
18. So. Teenagers are just, they're just
they're
stupid.
Dumb.
They just do dumb things.
And we all were teenagers.
Yeah, we all know.
Not this dumb,
this
though.
Was really dumb.
Yeah.
And then they go to the cop cam. So you go from the Facebook Live in the car, which the cops are listening to, by the way. And you have the cop cam on them from behind. And I think the police were listening to it. For some reason, I think they were. Or either they edited it brilliantly just so we could keep hearing the car and what was going on. And this chase gets up to like 115 miles an hour.
Let's let it
What
rip.
Highway are they on?
They're on 75.
75. Oh, good. They have a soundtrack.
Oh, they're cranking music as they're being chased, which I could not believe how annoying the music was.
You gotta have a driving song. Haven't you ever seen Baby Driver?
Yes. When the cops are on your tails, I don't know. I think I turn it down. I can't read that, by the way.
It says eastbound I-94 driving reckless.
And they are. They're flying past. Wow. A lot of a lot of cars, ambulances.
The speed is insane.
Okay, now this is the cop camera.
Seriously, you shall have thought, what kind of car are they in?
Oh, wow, he just blew past the cop.
What kind of car are they
in? I don't
think
they knew that was a cop over there. I don't know what kind it is. You can see the rear lights. Cop lights are on.
So he's yelling, police behind us.
I love how they sync it with the Facebook Live.
Yeah.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah, because this dash cam video is way better.
The suspect is traveling 115 miles an hour.
Hoo-ah!
They on us.
Yeah, they're drunk as shit. It looks like a video game.
Yeah.
Oh,
What do you say?
They're going to turn the lights off and exit.
Turn the lights off of the car?
Yes.
Spaceship in it?
Turn the music down.
I know, or pick a better track.
I know. Is this what you mean, chased by the police and you can't turn the music down?
Is this their group they're playing? What if it's the way to get publicity for their rap group?
That'd be smart.
Great idea. Street cred. So now the headlights and taillights are off.
They are?
And he's, yeah.
Yeah, he's on the right. You can't see him now.
That's fucking nuts.
No.
What time of the day is this?
Night. That's all I know.
I think it's like after midnight.
Nothing good happens after midnight.
I've come to believe that over the years.
Yeah, that's not true. Lots of great things happen after midnight.
Well, yes, a lot of great things, but...
You gotta get off at Duncan, bro. They got some radios.
They got some radios.
I think.
Yeah, oh, please do.
Bro, we gotta get off the freeway.
So, so now the cop is backing off. It's been too long. They've been flying.
Yeah,
so he's giving
fast.
Up.
Pretty smart.
But they have radios.
Shit, they was trying to flick us. Yeah, nigga, you ain't know.
What? Cancel that guy.
Fuck that. Get low. Hurry up.
Now they think they're free.
Get low. Fuck that. Can't play with these bitches. You gotta go.
Yeah, think
they,
so.
They have no headlights on at this point.
I'm stopping. They spud off.
Stop on the ass. Not stopping.
Not stopping, really.
I like that they turn the radio off.
But they're still recording on Facebook Live.
I got that shit on camera.
Oh, I spoke too soon.
On my live. Woo! Nigga! Police ain't getting sick, nigga! We got a load. I'm drunk as fuck, nigga.
So you had your first beer.
Oh, cops are back.
Up one in front of you too.
But now they're in residential.
Now what are you gonna do?
You got to. We already took them on chase. They want it.
Did they run?
Now they're in a trailer park.
They're right on them, in front and in back.
Hey, I'm a police officer.
And the audio goes out for a second, or for 10 seconds. It'll come back. Mm. But they're getting out of the car and getting on the ground.
Well, what about all the tough talk?
I know.
That's a shame.
Oh, wow, that was a packed car, too.
With a cop in front and in back, it looked pretty...
Open the door!
I think the guy in the back's going,
I was telling him to stop.
Lay down on your stomach now.
Front seat passenger, open the door. Unbuckle the seatbelt slowly. Keep your other
Unbuckle your seatbelt.
Get out. Put your faces down on the ground. Look down.
Get a chiller hand on your back.
Cover.
Well, their adrenaline must not be running as much anymore.
What's it say now?
What the driver had to say.
I didn't even lie. What are you talking about?
He was charged with fleeing fourth degree and operating with a suspended license. He was 19 years old.
What a big talker, too. That's great.
I know.
Way to go. See, my old
man's got a problem. Funny how
it'd be better if they had this song going. <There's the choice.
laughs> My name is Luca. Yeah, when you're 19, you think adults are just so stupid.
You also think you're indestructible.
And you're also, I think more so now, you're so used to lying to your parents and them believing you that you think that strangers will believe you too.
I just love the tough talk, and then they finally get pulled over. You just get to the ground.
What's going on, officer?
Oh boy, how quick your story changes, my man.
No, I didn't run. No.
Most of the comments were referencing that.
Oh, exactly. Facebook Live. I mean, oh my God, social media.
Dopes.
Yep. No more Facebook Live for you.
Or
no more
cars.
No more talking shit for you. Yeah. No more street cred for you. Sorry. Okay, let's see if there's Oh, parents post listing for nanny for 18-year-old daughter?
Yeah. What? Well, I mean, this girl really needs some help.
Oh, is this that Corinne girl from The Bachelor?
No.
Oh, God.
This is another
great
girl.
Comparison, Brandon.
Corinne, by the way, has pod faded.
She
Her podcast is no longer on.
Really?
And thanks to all our people who we must have 15 reviews of who are these podcasts now, and most of them mention us directly. And everyone gave them 4 or 5 stars, and their rating was so bad from all the butthurt people they reviewed. We actually pumped their rating up, I think, 0.2 of a point.
Cool.
Do you have the drop from the Morning Toast, Brandon, that we pulled?
Oh, God.
Oh.
Can't find it.
Oh, that show. Their new show, by the way, is out. It's David Lee Roth.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Cool.
I can't wait to listen. Parents post listing for nanny for 18-year-old daughter in college. Cook and clean for an 18-year-old university student. The Canadian student already has a driver and a lovely 2-bedroom apartment, but the toils of student life have proven too much for her to bear. Parents says they want to ensure their daughter lives without the stress of laundry, as her schedule is very intense. Despite the need for a cook, the ad doesn't ask for a gourmet chef, only for the fridge to be stocked full of healthy snacks.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, good for her.
Good morning, millennials.
And Brandon sent 2 millennial stories, one which really got my attention. I have the long
one. Good morning, millennials.
One of them, the one that I think was at BuzzFeed, that had to have been a novel. Like, that was the longest article I've ever written or tried to read about
typical millennials.
Yeah.
I couldn't finish
it. Can't even read it.
I could not finish that
story. That one was about how the millennials were the burnout generation, because there's just things that I need to do, but I just don't want to do them.
Nice focus.
The other story, I didn't understand. I understand that he wanted to complain that his life is harder than his dad's. He's got a college degree. His dad didn't. You know, when you want to compare generations like that, too, you have to realize that his parents, who are in their 60s, I believe he's 29, his parents, most people did not go to college when they were 17 or 18 years old. It just, when I went to college, honestly, I think about maybe 1 in 10 people my age got a degree because you didn't think you had people didn't think they had to, but you didn't think you needed it. It just was, it was a lot different, put it that way. And I never understood what this whole business when millennials came along. It's not their fault.
Everyone needs to go.
Everyone's got to go. My child's got to have a degree. And it certainly is a good idea.
Well, of course, everybody wants their child to have a degree, but
yeah.
When you look at it on a macro level, not everyone should go to college.
Well, everyone wants
to. Some should go to Northwestern Tech and find their own
path.
There
you go. That's why I'm glad they're in advertising, because I believe in what they're doing.
Exactly.
And it seems to work for their grads if you're into HVAC. So this kid is complaining because he's 29 and he has to live at home to save money. He lives in Utah. He makes $60,000 a year, which is good. At 29 years old, 60 grand. That's great.
Yes.
That's actually, I'm sure he's in the upper, I don't know, 10%, maybe.
Probably.
Mm-hmm. Something like that. His father, when he was 29, had 2 children and he owned a home. So he's saying, why can't I own a home? I'm 29. I've got no kids. I'm making 60 grand, which by inflation is more than his father actually made. Yeah. And so I'm reading this and I'm going, wait.
Life can be so unfair.
You're making 60 grand living in your parents' house. You have no expenses.
Yeah.
So, okay, maybe this is unrealistic of me. I thought you ought to be saving $30,000 a year because you're making 60. So you're probably taking home 43.
But what about his college debt?
Is okay, boomer. Debt?
They didn't say a word about college debt. Not a word.
What kind of sweet whippy does he have? What's he riding around in?
that may be part of the problem. He's obviously spending a lot of money. He says, there's no way I can afford a home right now.
Bullshit.
I'm
going to
revisit it in 5 years. I'm like, wait a second. What? Okay, let's just say he saves $20,000. There's no way. If you're making 60 and you're living in your parents' house, how can you not save $1,500, $1,700 a month? I mean, am I being ridiculous?
I don't think so.
He's got a cell phone. He's got a computer. He's got a car. He's got car insurance. You know, other than that, what major expenses would you have?
Well, not only that, but if you put some of this money in the market in the past year,
did very well. And then
year. You
could also look at the fact that he's been out of college for 7 or 8 years.
But those experiences, they're probably pretty expensive.
Well, that's the part
he had.
They didn't cover. All they talked about is how angry he is and how he's being cheated and his father had it easier than he did and millennials aren't going to do as well as their parents. And all I could say was, dude, save your money. You could have a huge down payment. You should have a big down payment ready now. I went to the trouble. Homes in Payson, Utah.
You looked at him?
Yeah, I did.
That should have been what the writer of the article did, though.
Yeah, I felt like I did a lot of the writer's work. The median home is $297,000.
Yeah.
So I looked at some of the, actual listings. Threw homes there for $200,000, $175,000 that were nice starter homes. Yeah. They were. I mean, this guy doesn't have a family.
Three-year salary is that the rule of thumb?
3-year salary would be $180,000.
So there's. But,
why wouldn't you? And this is what I hear about millennials is that it's so impossible to buy a house that they don't buy. They skip starter homes entirely. They wait till they've got kids and a family and they buy $300,000 homes. And you know, that's not, that's up to you. All I'm saying is there's no way this guy, he could save money for 2 years. He should have done it already and bought a home, a starter home. What's the fucking point of the article? It was just so annoying.
Imagine being the person his age reading that who maybe makes half of what he makes.
And doesn't live at home.
Yes.
I mean, a lot of people don't have option to live at home.
And maybe has a family. That's a little insulting.
No, 29 and no kids is a good position to be in for saving money. I just thought,
grand a year? Yeah.
This guy, by the time he's, if he hasn't saved a dime up
this
till
guy's
now,
not going to make it wherever he is.
He should save $100,000 in the next 5 years easily.
Think about, there's got to be 29-year-olds that have families that make less that manage somehow.
I always say this about single moms because so many kids of single moms when they grow up they go, I don't know how my mom did it. Yeah. And honestly, you can look at them.
Yeah, well, you know, it's tough being a single mom, you know.
It's amazing what necessity will do
in
terms of it is the mother invention because people find a way to make it work.
You have to.
And this guy clearly does not have much in the way of ingenuity or I don't know what his problem is.
Certainly knows how to bitch.
Dumb article. I know. It was really stupid. I don't know why Brand sent it to me, to be honest.
Well,
because he didn't want to read it. He wanted you to.
No, I read a collection of it. I mean, it did have some pretty good points that there are. It had some very, very good statistics there where it shows you that a lot of people that are starting out now, they're starting out later than, you know, the 70s, 60s, 70s.
Of course, there are the 80s. People that were 50 when 2009 happened, and they lost everything, and then they start over at 53. Yeah.
Now they can't help their millennial child.
I would rather
you always go back to the 50-year-olds, like, when that happened, and I completely understand.
It happened to everyone!
My dad lost his house. However, what my dad had was 30 years of experience, which made him able to get a job.
Experience, not experience.
Like that.
Their jobs.
Now, when that happened to me,
Wait. You're saying that you think a 50-year-old who loses their job has an easy time finding a job because they have experience?
Well, as Dan Quayle will say it, I only had about 4 years experience in IT when I lost my gig because of the recession. Now, as soon as that happened, I immediately started going to Specs Howard, and that was the only reason I went to Specs Howard was because it was a 9-month course, and I didn't have to pay my student loans for 9 months. That's the only reason I went. It just so happens that I met you guys, and
you got the Eli Award.
But anyway, yeah, I got the Eli Award. But during my tenure at Specs, I was doing interview after interview after interview after interview for IT positions, and what was happening is I kept getting turned down because I had 4 years experience. Because the guys that had 10, 20, 30, they were getting the jobs.
Well, there are also people that have...
So it
you
was
know,
harder.
People that have... No, it's not necessarily harder. You could have 30-year experience, and the reason you don't get hired is because they can hire someone with less experience and pay them a lot less. And meanwhile, you also have more expenses when you're older because you might have kids. You might have kids in college. I mean, 2009 was not good for anyone.
Sucked.
Nobody got off the hook in 2009 unless you were just so loaded that you could just sort of bear it out and... You know,
but especially in this region, like we've talked about, gone are the days where you graduate from high school and you walk into Ford and you say, can I have a job? And they give it to you. Gone are those days. And trust me, I know a ton of people who retired by the time they were 48 years old because they were just done working because they went to Ford in the 70s.
Well,
and they
that
got
was
a job. Done. 40. Done. Retired.
That was a very charmed time. And it was, you know, hundreds of thousands of people. But it wasn't everyone, and it was unusual. And actually, it put Michigan behind the eight ball because people didn't emphasize education for a long time because they didn't think you needed it. So think of the guy at Ford, GM, who is 45, and they're trying to shove you out the door.
Yeah.
And you have no training in anything else.
45.
And your $30 an hour job with all those incredible benefits, they're really desperate to get you the fuck out of there. And you have to start completely over. And you're used to having these fabulous benefits and good pay. I mean, it's really hard. And a lot of people found a way to do it. But personally, having youth and energy and strength is a big, good thing. If you use it.
But I will say, being young, being young at that transitional period of my life when I was in my early 20s, I was able to intern with you guys for free for almost a year. I was able to live with my Grambo. So, yes, I was able to do all this stuff expense-free. I didn't have any kids at that point. I didn't have any dogs or anything.
Well, a lot of us were thrown out of our houses when we were young, and we're expected to get the fuck out of the house. I wanted to get out of the house.
You guys had to go to college for $10,000 for 4 years, and now it's $10,000 for the first 2 weeks.
Not everybody went to college back then. Yeah. They really didn't. I mean, that's why so many people can say, I have a fucking degree, and I'm doing better than my dad. My dad did better than me. He didn't have any degree. He didn't finish high school. All right, let's get out of here. 255?
Hey, yikes.
Look at all the value.
20 minutes or 2 hours of that to Andy, though.
Look at all the value this show gives you. Okay. The Chiefs won, by the way.
Yeah, they did.
They were down 21-0.
I'm telling you, man.
Did they win 51-31? Was that the final score?
I've really hit on something. When an underdog takes a big lead in the first quarter, go live in-game betting on the favorite. So I was able to get the Chiefs plus 6.5 at that point. It would have worked.
Loved that bet.
If you took Alabama during the Citrus Bowl, if you took Clemson when they played Ohio State, and Ohio State jumped out to that big lead, when the Lions jumped out to a big lead on Green Bay.
Oh, I'm so geeked.
Favorites come back, man.
Clemson, LSU. I feel like it's going to be a great game. Is it possible someone will blow someone out in this game?
Oh, yeah. I think it's going to be a shootout, though, don't you?
I do.
Of course, now that I say that, it probably won't.
I'm not sure Clemson's a shootout kind of team offensively. Not like LSU. Very good.
Not like they have been in the past, but
They got some great defense, too. We'll see. It'd be exciting. I hope it's exciting.
Mm-hmm.
All right. As far as business, our Amazon portal is wide open, waiting for you. Yep. And, of course, like us on Facebook, rate us on Facebook, or maybe don't rate us on Facebook. Don't rate us on iTunes if you're going to give us a fucking 2-star rating. Oh, my God.
Great.
Thanks a lot. Fuck you. God. Really? I mean, that's the whole basis. Everything comes down to this, and we get a 2-star rating because that's for life, but we'll survive. Oh, well.
We'll be fine.
Thanks for being who are these podcast 5 stars and us 2 stars. All right, we'll see you tomorrow.
He hates you. He thinks he's better than you. He looks down his nose at you. I hate you. My listeners hate you. And remember that scumbag forever.